Friday, you bastard.
Last night you dug a booger out from your old crusty nose.
All right.
You rolled it between your fingers, and that's when things got gross. And I recall how hard you flung it down the hall. It bounced off of the table and splattered on the wall. Then you went through your nostrils and you found some things in there, like that pair of latex gloves that I bought you to wear. And it was so disgusting what went on from there. Yeah, tonight you're sitting alone just picking your nose. Quit picking your nose. Quit picking your nose. Well, I told you at least 100 times that's gross. Well, you just never listen, girl, and you keep right on picking. And I'll tell you once again, quit picking your nose.
Oh! 101 at 560 WQM. It's Friday. Thank the Lord. November 17. There's Ricky Tikki Sanchez on CNN.
Touchdown.
Great.
Morning,
they got him in Riegelwood, North Carolina, where they had the hurricane, tornado, whatever the hell it was. Tornado. And I think maybe CNN's hoping that there's an instant replay on the tornado and to blow his ass off into the ocean. They're trying all kinds of ways to get rid of his ass. They can't do it yet. I know I sure as hell would. Anyway, Riegelwood, that's not anywhere near where your joint is.
No.
Well, what a shame.
Yeah, well.
Getting a phenomenal response on our website today and yesterday afternoon. It couldn't be because of those naked pictures of Notre Dame quarterback Brady Quinn, could it?
Must be.
Wow. Looks to me like he might be Jewish. Anyway. Just don't look too close, that's all. And, you know, somebody I know who is...
gay.
Yeah, I know a few of those. And I told him about your comments about hairless guys and all this other crap, and he said, you are so full of it, as usual.
Yeah, of course.
And, of course, stubborn and militant, you know.
Mm-hmm. What do they
George
know?
George is the expert on naked guys, hairless, that all
right.
guys shave their bodies because the women like it, you know, because if they're going to get some action, they got to shave their things.
So what does your gay
Quinn,
friend know about that?
I don't think that Brady Quinn has to shave anything to get all the action he wants with anything that alive, dead, whatever.
Right. I think your gay friend is full of crap, and I know why.
The whole world is full of crap. George is the expert. You name the topic.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he'll tell you. Especially when it comes to sex.
No matter how many faxes we got, backed up by every guy in the building.
Yes.
Yeah.
Backed up by every
that
guy
50-year-old
guy
that sent that fax.
What about it?
That girls don't like hair these days.
So?
Well.
That's the way it goes. At any rate, like I said, let's just not, because there's no getting through to you. You just don't understand.
Right. You go ask some Twinkies, and they say, yeah, whatever you say, man. And
I'm not interested in no Twinkies. How do you like that? Although it sounds good for lunch. Mmm.
Not as good as ice cream.
Now, see, that's the kind of crap I don't eat. That's loaded with trans fats, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's why I'm so healthy. Twinkies will kill you. Anyway, can I get back? Speaking of getting killed, a group of security contractors, including 4 Americans, was abducted yesterday when a supply convoy was ambushed in southeastern Iraq, a U.S. military spokesman told CNN. U.S. troops were conducting a search. Another military spokesman said the abductions occurred at a checkpoint. Like that checkpoint. In fact, do I have that thing still? Oh, yeah, I do have it.
Good.
Okay, I'll get to that in a minute. In fact, maybe you'll get abducted at the checkpoint by some police.
If you open your mouth, yeah.
On Friday, today, the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad told CNN that 5 contractors are believed to be kidnapped. Everyone else has been accounted for but them. The wheels of the military machine are in motion, and investigation is ongoing. The wheels of the military machine are in motion. We haven't had a fax, a telegram, anything from anybody who's been a Gulfstream to the Racino yet.
No, we haven't.
Playing them slots over there.
I saw a news report yesterday about
And what did it say?
They talked about how big it was, but then they didn't show anybody playing.
They just showed an empty casino?
Yeah, they had a reporter there live outside of Gulfstream.
No, outside the casino. They didn't want us to see that the average age of the people inside was death plus 10, but that's always been the way at Gulfstream, you know, even when it was just horse racing. You can't complain about the young people there because there aren't any. Now, maybe this is going to change that. Maybe this will bring some people under the age of 500 in there, although it's in Hallandale. What do you expect?
Oy!
They're trying to make it like the Hard Rock, I guess. They were saying that there's like a club in there now, and, you know, they're trying to get the young peoples to come out.
Right. Well, maybe if we can get Gary Puckett and the Union Gap back again for another concert, that'll do it. Here's yesterday's poll. Throughout American history, which group has been treated the worst? 1,630 votes. Indians. 695 votes. 10 Little Indians. Who did that? Was that Paul Revere and the Raiders? No, it was not.
No.
Who did
that? Children's song.
Ten Little Engines. No, there was somebody done it, a rock version of it. Ten Little Engines. I think it was Defoe and Marvin. Indians, 695 votes. Blacks, 563. We had a really good battle between the red folks and the black folks, but the red folks won. Jews, 123, the only other group in triple digits, 123. How about Sammy Davis's Indian cousin?
Who?
Gay, 71. Women, 71. I hate this poll. Only 65, a mere 3.9%. Mexicans, 23, and Catholics, 19. Oh, yeah. Although William Donahue, the Catholic League, he would disagree with that. He would put Catholics way up to the top. There's this anti-Catholic, rah, like that. You know, he's a crazy person is what he is. Just like all religious fanatics, a crazy person. So I'm thinking that if we really want to get tremendous action on our website again, not that we care, but if we did, get back to putting a lot of naked pictures on there again. Because, I mean, these aren't even naked pictures. There's nothing at all provocative about seeing some jock with his shirt off. I mean, what's the big deal with that, right? Although he is, right. You know, he's not your everyday pedestrian, jock Brady Quinn. But nevertheless, no big deal with that. How about shirtless female jocks?
All right.
Yeah, we need to get the beaded curtain back, and I think there's a way around it. We have 25 plus, you know what I mean? That's the only thing they're concerned about, that law, that fascistic restrictive law, is that you can't have any minors on there. You have to have proof that they were at least 18 when the time they were taking the naked picture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if we, well, I don't know. I don't want to go there because then Eric will get all bent out of shape. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble. I'm going to go to jail. Yeah, you'll have a good time in there, Eric. All those trips to the Parliament House will pay off. Practice makes perfect. Anyway, getting back to this thing with the BSO. The Broward Sheriff's Office DUI Task Force will conduct saturation patrols this Saturday. That's tomorrow night from 8:30 in the p.m. till 5 in the a.m. on Sunday morning in the following areas of North Lauderdale. See, this doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't. In North Lauderdale, Oakland Park, unincorporated Central Broward, impaired drivers will be identified. DUI laws will be actively enforced to get all you drunks off the road. And if they just don't like the way you look or if you they find out they voted for a Democratic candidate for any orifice, they're going to, like, drag your ass away. Just the way it is. That's the American effing way. I think that law is still... That's part of the Patriot Act, Part 3. Oh, there's Hank. He's on CNN again.
On the story we've been reporting all morning long.
Well, she is coalition. Really. That Barbara Starr, she is absolutely one of the grimmest... And she hasn't got any makeup. Looks like she just crawled out of the sack.
Americans. Anything comes...
Wow. 967 votes already, and our goal is only 1,000.
Carefully, because, of course, one of the...
Are you looking at that?
Is,
looking at what? Barbara Starr?
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
Well, because she looks worse than ever. I mean, she looks like she...
She looks sad.
She missed the makeup call this morning, and she just crawled out of the sack.
Maybe her cat died.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Or something
she's
like that.
Bummed.
I don't think she has
looks
one.
Like she's crying.
Which ultra-rich person do you despise the most? We have 967 votes. Rupert Murdoch, for obvious reasons, because he's a right-wing piece of crap who's responsible not just for the New York Post, all his other right-wing pieces of garbage newspapers, but, of course, for Fox, so-called news. So everybody hates him like poison. Rupert Murdoch, 326. He's got an agenda, an evildoer, if there ever was one. I hate them all, 137. You know what I'm thinking about those people who said I hate them all? Probably schleppers.
Mm-hmm.
Like you. People that don't have two nickels to rub together, so they're just jealous. Oprah, 134. I'm so glad that she moved up into a strong second place. Nice going, bitch. Donald Trump, 122. We hate the Donald like poison.
And I hate it when people say the Donald.
Wayne Huizinger, 111. And one thing he and Donald both share, nice hair. George Steinbrenner, 51. Boy, it's way on down to him. Small potatoes. I hate this poll, 48, 4.9%. Ted Turner, 27. Bill Gates, 17. And Warren Buffett, only 5. Boy, if we'd have put Jimmy Buffett on there, he'd done better than that. But we're not going to do that. Warren Buffett, only 5. Well, you know, he's so such a philanthropist, him and Ted Turner. 985 votes on the poll. Did we leave anybody off of that thing? We could still add him on there now. I don't think so. I asked you that yesterday toward the end of the show, and you couldn't come up with any rich people.
You got all the important people on there.
Well, good. We like to leave no stone unturned. Boy, she looks bad, too, whoever the hell that is.
I don't know.
They must have had run out of lipstick and mascara and makeup, stuff like that.
Well, she's in Baghdad. They don't have any makeup over there
Oh,
anymore.
That's right. We don't want to have any women with makeup in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
Not seen publicly since resigning from Congress in a national scandal. I bet you she's got some nice makeup on. Mark Foley finally emerged yesterday in Palm Beach County after the death of his father. The former congressman who left his post as a U.S. representative in September after the disclosure that he had sent sexually explicit emails to congressional pages is in town in West Palm for Ed Foley's funeral. Ed Foley, 85, died on Tuesday. Foley's emergence, his coming out, comes as the FDLE indicated it has shifted from a preliminary inquiry to a full-fledged criminal investigation regarding Miss Foley. As the scandal unfolded, more details were made public concerning Foley's communications with teenage boys. The U.S. Justice Department and FDLE indicated they were launching inquiries. They're launching it. I bet you when he was sending those emails, he was launching it, too. We found that there might be criminal violations that would warrant a full investigation, said FDLE spokeswoman Christina Perzluja, whatever her name is, adding that the agency also is assisting the FBI. We don't know, but that's what we're going to look into, she said. Wearing a red polo shirt, Foley was seen with his attorney David Roth at the Palm Beach home of his friend Lane Niesenbaum on Thursday and later spent time at Roth's office, according to Channel 5 in Palm Beach. Niesenbaum is a Palm Beach dermatology practice. Oh, see that? The dermatologist, he's probably getting like a scrub. They're probably scrubbing it. It's unclear whether Foley will be at the visitation today at Quattlebaum Funeral Home or tomorrow's funeral mass at Mary Immaculate Catholic Church. His attorney, David Roth, issued a brief statement yesterday on behalf of Foley and his family asking for privacy. Roth couldn't be reached for comment beyond the press release. Scott Ondich, funeral director at Quattlebaum Funeral Home, acknowledged there may be speculation about Foley's presence during the services. This is about Ed Foley, not about Mark Foley, and hopefully that's how it stays, Ondich said. I wonder if Ondich is kin to a Mandich. Think? Foley recently underwent treatment for booze addiction in an Arizona rehab facility. He previously announced to his attorneys that he is gay and that a priest molested him when he was just a teenager. The priest, Marchieka, whatever his name is, who said he thought he was enjoying it. He liked it. He had a good time. He was smiling when it was going on. All of that. All of these things. I wonder what Reverend Ted thinks about this. You know Ted Haggard? I wonder what he's thinking about that.
It's the devil. The devil
right.
made him
All the closet queens all the time, baby. Oh! All the Getchkies, all the closet queens. Although at least Miss Foley wasn't, you know, like some kind of religious nut, like Reverend Ted. He was just the sponsor of that Internet legislation about, well, let's be sure we protect all the kids from perverts like me on the Internet, is what he was thinking. 994 votes on the poll. Rupert Murdoch is running away with it. Hands down. Hands down, your pantaloonies.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
It's Fatwa Friday, you bastards.
Absolutely.
Gay, not straight, Mark Foley's a hobo.
All right.
Another fine Republican, more or less queer hobo.
Fairy. 10:19 at 560 WQAM. Let's look at that schedule if we have to. Mad Dog is at Hooters in the Pines between, or in Pompano, excuse me. Hooters in Pompano, is that what I just said? Yes. 2 to 4. Power Hour with Hank and the Mad Dog, 4 to 5. The Humper Solo between 5 and 7. Then, oh, and guess who did the game on TV last night, the Panther game? I'll give you one guess.
Goldie?
Geldy. Geldy and Denise Potvin. Boy, talk about the blind leading the blind. And the Panthers kicked that frog ass right there in the Yenta Center, 5 to 1. Anyway. Panthers Insider with Geldy from Doris Italian Market at 7 o'clock, followed innocuously by the UM Evansville basketball game, the American Ute Classic at 7:30. And then Eddie K from Vegas follows UM basketball, which is like following transmitter maintenance. 1,014 votes.
Oh!
We are off to the races. Now, let me just, I don't want to get into a big thing about this, but we might have killed some good time. About the Internet streaming?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were explaining to me before the show, which I still don't understand. We increased the bandwidth so that it sounds so much better than it ever did before. It sounds really good and crystal clear, and it's just a beautiful thing. But
we increased the bit rate, too, according to Eric.
Yes.
Which makes it sound great if you can accommodate the more information that we're feeding out there. But if you
right.
can't,
so all your schleppers out there are still using dial-up, get rid of it.
That's his theory.
I can't imagine anybody using a dial-up, except maybe Larry King.
Uh-huh.
You know, when he punches those little buttons, he wants to make sure it has to punch them real slowly. Because he's always got to keep one hand on his bag.
I still see those ads.
All kinds of
companies offering dial-up, and, you know, I just laugh. Like, what's the point?
I think the only advantage to dial-up is it's real cheap.
Right.
And you know what? And you get your money's worth, too. We got 773 friends on our MySpace page, and Josh says that is really phenomenal.
Yes, it
especially
is.
Especially compared to, well, what's her name? Nancy Grace, friend. Nancy Grace doesn't have as many friends as she thinks she did. Isn't that surprising?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why she's so anxious to befriend everybody she speaks to. Fran, because she don't have too many friends. What'd she have, 400 and something on that MySpace page?
Oh, like 200 something.
No, it wasn't. It was 400 and something.
No, I don't think
you have a memory like that.
I'm thinking it was like 279.
No, 449-ish. Look it up again. I'm telling you, is 449. I beg your pardon?
I'm going 279.
449. Okay, let me write these down. You say 279. I say 449. The winner gets $1,000,000. Gets his own slot machine to take home and diddle with. Or gets Brady Quinn to take home and deal with, and since I know you don't want that, I'll take it. So anyway, look it up and let's see what she's got. She's got nothing, man. Speaking of somebody who's got lots of nothing, the Pope. You know the Pope with the fancy red shoes? So anyway, have we got any faxes today from people bitching about the internet connection and it's all messed up?
Not yet. Not today.
Good.
So far.
If you're listening online, we hope that it sounds really sensational. We hope it is fantastic. And...
Yeah, you were right.
What? How much is it?
$478.
Uh-huh. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was $449 yesterday when you looked it up because she's probably gaining friends like crazy since we talked about it. $478. That's a lot closer than $279, my guess. But anyway, get that toilet paper roll out again for the 11 to noon hour. Yeah, let's do the whole show in that, through the toilet paper roll, and then the people online will say, it sounds like you're talking through a toilet paper roll, like that fax on Wednesday. Pope Benedict XVI believes Catholicism is growing sick in its historic birthplace of Western Europe, where a shortage of priests is both a symptom and an aggravating condition of the choice of priestly celibacy. Keep it in your pants. That's the deal. In normal circumstances, Malingo's taste for the spotlight might cause the Vatican to simply ignore him, but the fact that the Pope called the meeting in the first place is telling. The question of specific dispensations and the broader question of celibacy is not a matter of fixed church doctrine, but has long been a tradition in the Latin Church, while Eastern Rite churches allow married men to become priests. Church insiders say that a small core of progressive cardinals have been trying to open up discussion of the rules going well back into John Paul's papacy. Some observers even speak of the risk of a new schism with Malingo's departure. I wonder if he was a malingerer. Though he is largely considered an unpredictable and isolated figure who's lost much of his original following. His becoming a de facto public spokesman for those opposing the centuries-old church tradition of priestly celibacy, however, may have offered Benedict a unique opportunity to clearly state his position on this hot-button request early in his papacy, as John Paul II did in his second year in orifice. That's where the Pope's like it, in the orifice. Vatican sources note that there are several prominent cardinals who want to at least fine-tune the policy on celibacy. They want to fine-tune it, like your radio dial. I don't think the Pope cares about Malingo, said one senior Vatican official, but he wants to give the cardinals a chance to have their say. It's better to respond head on.
Apply directly to the forehead.
Caffeine. Apply directly to the brainstem. Caffeine. Apply directly to the brainstem. Caffeine. Apply directly to the brainstem.
I didn't know Shula was hooked on caffeine, but nevertheless. The plot of the African Archbishop soap opera, which could be dubbed as Malingo Turns, has been twisting for years. Attentive viewers may remember that Malingo, attentive viewers of what? What is this on? It says it's Time Magazine. May remember that Malingo, who had built a loyal international following for his passionate sermons and purported faith-healing prowess, shocked the Catholic Church in 2001 by suddenly marrying a South Korean woman in Reverend Sung Myung Moon's Unification Church. Malingo later patched things up with the Vatican, which simply never recognized his marriage to his hand-picked bride, who held a weeks-long sit-in protest in St. Peter's Square demanding her husband back. She was doing that angel song, I want my husband back, my husband's back. Malingo later published a book in which he repented his marital vows and was eventually placed in a backwater Italian diocese where church officials could keep an eye on him. But 2 months ago, Malingo, 76, burst back on the scene, ordaining 4 American married men as bishops in defiance of the Vatican. He was automatically excommunicated. It doesn't say whether they were married to women or like to each other, you know. He says he doesn't recognize the excommunication and has organized a convention for more than 1,000 married priests and their wives in New York, December 8th through the 10th. All right, let's hear it. for those married priests. At least they're getting some, and it's, you know, legal, as opposed to molesting little altar boys. Isn't that what the Pope would like to do, best altar boys? I think that's probably his number one hobby.
Imagine.
Although the Swiss Guard, I think they got to be legal. I don't know what the deal is with them. And they got to wear, like, a lot of heavy, heavy clothing, you know, so the Pope can't get at them real easy. They can't just be hanging loose. 27 past 10 at 560 WQM. You know who would be a good Swiss Guard is James Franco. He looks like he got that look.
Picturing him in a beret. Don't they wear those little funny hats?
I think it would fit. He's got that Franco-American look. I have a line for that, but Joyce would get very upset. 1,034 votes on the poll. It's not even 10:30 yet, man. We are really kicking some big, and that's because we got those naked pictures of Brady Quinn on there, man. That should really put us over the top. If you're expecting guests this holiday season, then it's a great time to dial 1-800-MATTRESS. Plus, it's Dollar Mattress's 30th birthday. And to celebrate, Dollar Mattress and Simmons are offering you the lowest price of the year on the best-selling Simmons Beauty Rest Pillow Top. You can choose from South Florida's biggest selections of Simmons Beauty Rest with same-day delivery like always. There's no way in the world that you have to be a nut when you go out shopping for a mattress. You don't have to leave the house at all. Don't go to those bedding and department stores and get ripped off, wasting a lot of gas and time and money. Just call Dial-A-Mattress like I've done for years, 1-800-MATTRESS, to get yourself factory direct prices, unbeatable prices, and award-winning service with no nonsense. And like always, and I've been telling you this for about 100 years, you choose the date and time for delivery when you want, when it's convenient for you, a two-hour window, and they'll show up in that window like noon to 2, 1 to 3, instead of sitting around on your ass all day praying that somebody shows up. And you can pick any day you want, any time, 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., even the same day that you call. In other words, if you make the call right now, you can be sleeping like a baby tonight and for years to come. That's why Dollar Mattress is ranked number one in customer satisfaction because they give you better prices and service than anybody else, and why just about everybody at QM uses Dollar Mattress. On the web, check them out at mattress.com or make the easy call right now, 1-800-MATTRESS, 1-800-MATTRES. Leave off the last S because it stands for stupendous savings.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
David's a bitch.
Isn't it funny how some tastes just take you back? Like when you were a teenager. Remember sitting on your porch on a cool summer evening, popping a zit with your fingers and then eating it? Well, the great taste is back at the Puss Palace. Yes, delicious, creamy, soft-serve puss in a cone or a dish with your choice of toppings. All the great tastes of your body you enjoyed as a kid, like warm earwax, scab chips, and our new booger bits. The Puss Palace. I scream, you scream, we all scream for puss.
Mmm. As Miss Foley would say, mmm. 10:32 at 560 WQM. Happy Friday to you. Don't forget, we got a big treat coming for Josh and George a little bit later on, probably in an hour. Jackson's Ice Cream has got their 50th anniversary and that big thing coming up tomorrow night, which we'll tell you about. And they're bringing in more tubs of ice cream and hot fudge and butterscotch and footlong weenies, those national footlongs, et cetera.
I'm going for two tubs this time.
Two tubs. Okay. Don't forget what I recommended about the hot fudge and the butterscotch. Take those little plastic containers, nuke them for just a few seconds, about 8-9 seconds. And then just you got steaming hot fudge to pour over your rocky road or whatever, all that. Disgusting. But it's a damn good thing I'm not in the mood for ice cream, I'll tell you that, yet. This story is exactly what's wrong with the entire world. This is what just makes me want to get down on my hands and knees and puke my guts on the floor for hours and hours. Putnam, Connecticut. I wonder if that's got anything to do with Joe Putnam, who drives at Hazel Park occasionally, and Indiana. How about Carl Putnam Jr.? Anyway, two armed thugs tried to rob a line of people waiting to buy the new PlayStation 3 gaming console early today and shot one who refused to give up the money, authorities said.
Should have given it up.
The two confronted 15 to 20 people who were in line outside a Walmart store shortly after 3 this morning and demanded money, said Lieutenant J. Paul Vance. I'm sure he's related to Dave Vance, a spokesman for the state police. The new Sony consoles are selling for around $500 to $600. One of the patrons resisted. He kept his honor. That was the guy that got shot.
Oh,
yeah, it's true. He kept his honor, and he got shot. He said the two gunmen fled, and the victim was taken to University of Massachusetts Medical Center in Worcester. No immediate word on his condition. Vance said police were searching for the suspects, both believed to be in their teens. He said one was wearing a ski mask and brandishing a handgun, and the other had what appeared to be a shotgun. Kind of like the one that was used in that movie that we raved about, Match Point, where he like had the shotgun. We're not going to tell you who he shot with it or if he did shoot anybody.
The old lady.
Huh? At any rate, no, we don't want to ruin it. Oh, look at this. More polls from Sean. Thank you, Sean. Just in the nicotine, man. Thank you so much. In Palmdale, California, authorities shot down a Super Walmart after some shoppers got rowdy late Wednesday. In West Bend, Wisconsin, a 19-year-old man was injured when he ran into a pool racing with 50 others for one of 10 spots outside a Walmart. He had a pool problem. In Lexington, Kentucky, police were investigating a drive-by shooting that hit four people with BB pellets outside a Best Buy store, causing minor injuries, according to WKYT, whose own reporter was hit as she interviewed buyers in line. And at a Best Buy in Boston, where it had only 140 of the consoles, they got smart. Its employees gave out tickets to the first 140 people in line so everybody could go home and come back later and buy it in more civilized circumstances. Isn't that a smart way to do it?
Absolutely. Jackson's is here, by the way.
Jackson's is here with the ice cream. Oh! Thanks God, man. Thank God that I'm not there, because, boy, my blood sugar would go skyrocketing. I'd probably croak right on the air. With a big smile on my face, though. Now, let's see what Sean says before I look at his polls here. In this day and age, some intimate grooming is appropriate, but I'm not so sure about the total bikini shaving so common among girls. Unless you're a biker, a guy doesn't want to bed down a girl with body hair like Ed Asner, but I don't want to feel like I'm molesting a campfire girl either. It's okay for guys to trim a bit to avoid the Cro-Magnon look. You don't want to be like that pissed-off caveman, but shaving or even worse, leaving a landing strip is mega gay. I would agree with that.
Absolutely.
See, Sean knows what he's talking about.
Absolutely.
Let me say it again. I would say at least 50%, maybe majority of young guys, like say under 25, are hairless. And they're not shaving their chest. They're not shaving their armpits. They're not shaving. If they're shaving their crotch, that's a different story. That's a lady thing.
So let me ask you, what does your gay friend know about what straight guys are doing?
As James Carville continues his crusade to oust Howard Dean as DNC chair, DCCCC chair Rahm Emanuel wants to conciliate. According to sources in the DNC and the DCCCCC, Emanuel called Dean this morning to distance himself from the tone and general tenor of Carville's comments. That's yesterday. In a short conversation, Emanuel acknowledged that he shared some of Carville's opinions about the DNC's priorities, but said he did not share Carville's wish that Dean ought to be ousted as DNC chair. And by the way, guess who's going to be the speaker? I don't know what day it's coming because I don't pay attention to these stupid Canadian politics. Guess who's going to be the speaker at the Liberal Party convention here in Canada?
Bubba?
No. I guess
give me a hint.
I'll give you an audio clue.
Oh, Howie.
Dean called Emanuel on election night, and the two had a friendly conversation, according to sources affiliated with both men. When their schedules permit, Dean and Emanuel will meet privately to discuss their plans for the 2008 cycle. Both sides hope to reach in advance an understanding about how the Democratic Party committees will fund state parties and candidate committees. After the private meeting, the two will likely take their rapprochement public. Oh, there's another stupid French word. Meanwhile, current DNC member, ex-DNC chair Don Fowler, emailed members of the DNC his response to Carville. He said, some ill-advised voices have suggested that because of his 50-state strategy, Governor Dean should be replaced as chair of the DNC, he wrote in the email. This is nonsense. He said, the 50-state strategy is exactly what the Democratic Party needs and continues to need. Nice going, Don. They don't come no fouler than Don, but he's got his thumb right on it. You go, boy. So how's the ice cream and the weenies and stuff?
It's good and cold. It's just ice cream.
Oh, no weenies?
I don't know what you got.
Well, it's a little bit early in the day to be thinking about weenies, although I'm
not worried about it because I got a whole tub of ice cream over here. My own personal tub.
Let me take a look at those pictures again on our website just to make sure that Brady Quinn ain't shaving his chest. I'm just telling you. You can just tell when a guy's one of those ordinarily hairless people. That's him. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay.
I can usually, 9 out of 10 times, tell by looking at a guy's face.
I would say because, like you mentioned yesterday, when you're in person.
Can I finish?
All right.
I can usually tell by looking at a guy whether he's got hair on his chest or not. The only exception would have been, of course, you're ultra hairy, and he made up for a lot of, your buddy Juan Pablo, JP.
Well, you were talking about the stubble, which is very obvious. But, you know, when you're looking at pictures, you know what they do with pictures. They retouch and
I'm telling you right now, Brady Quinn is as smooth and silky as a hangman's ass.
Look,
okay?
I don't want to get in the way of your fantasy.
Well, whatever. And what difference does it make, okay? Why do you
apparently
care?
That's huge
what I'm,
difference. I
that's
don't.
That's what I'm so concerned
about. You're the one
about
that got all
is.
Bent
why
out of shape.
So hung up about whether this guy's shaving his nipples.
I'm not.
His
you
nipples.
Are.
Well, I'm not
I could
the least,
give a
but
flying
I just happened to notice on the picture that it looked like he shaved his pubes. There was
you're
no pubic hair there, which seemed a little bit
gay.
Unusual to me. And then, of course, you guys are both telling me about,
All upset when I implied that he probably uses Nair.
And do I care if he uses
apparently,
Nair?
Apparently you do.
On his pair? 1,068 votes on the poll. Is what we got. What do you got there? What do you
chocolate. Want? Chocolate. Straight up chocolate. I think
straight
I'm
up
pour,
chocolate with some hot fudge on it sounds pretty good to me.
I got
some maraschino cherries and whipped cream.
I'm going to pour some on it.
Did you said and put that fudge in the microwave and nuke it for a few
we
seconds?
We got the microwave right here, as you know.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that's the way to go.
I'm fixing,
get real hot fudge.
I'm fixing
just,
to
oh,
nuke it.
Just ladle it right on there on your chocolate. And what are you eating in there, Josh?
I got the same. I'm going chocolate, man.
No. 1,068 votes on the poll. Which ultra-rich person do you despise the most, whether or not they near their chest? Rupert Murdoch, 353. I hate them all, 150. Oprah, 142. I bet you she's neat. Not. Oh, yeah, we saw what's coming out of her. Well, anyway.
You'd be surprised if we could talk.
Donald Trump, 132. Wayne Huizinga, 123. I can't believe Wayne ain't doing better than that. I hate this poll, only 50, 5.6%. 5.5%, whatever it is. George Steinbrenner, only 55. He's small taters, man. Ted Turner, 31. Bill Gates, 18. And Warren Buffett, he's still got only 5. Solamente cinque, soltanto cinque, whatever the hell. See, when you start mixing Spanish and Italian, it's very non-linguistic. It's bad. Bad to be doing that. Oh, here's another lip tour spot. At least he wasn't standing in front of Pin. This weekend, you people out there that are just desperate to see a really neat flick that you haven't seen before, go out to your video store and get Pin and also get Match Point. I think Match Point's a lot better, but nevertheless.
Yes, it is. Better ending. Better
yeah,
Scarlett Johansson content.
Yeah, well, the ending of Pin is kind of cute, too.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard from Leon?
I miss him. Yeah, that's cute. He's sitting in the window, and it's, oh, I don't want to ruin the ending for you.
The biggest names. The
he looks just
talent.
Like Pin,
this
Leon.
Is Neil
How about
Rogers,
that?
Sports Radio
like a pinhead. Squeeze it.
This is G. Gordon Liddy, and they don't come any worse than Neil Rogers.
Everyone is talking about
the question Anna has never answered until now.
Anna, are you going to vote?
Oh, yes.
How are you going to vote on Proposition 87?
Her answer will surprise you.
Well, I didn't think about that.
It is the interview moment that is almost too difficult to watch.
Okay, then how are you going to vote on Proposition 86?
I know nothing about nothing.
It is gripping, painful.
Do you know the difference between Proposition H and Preparation H?
I'm going to have to take my clothes off.
It is dramatic footage.
Are you a Democrat, a Republican, or a Sagittarius with Mercury rising?
Are you trying to listen and see if you can hear me pee?
She's doing it, let me tell you. 1047, 13 to 11 at 560 WQAM. Join Kim Bocamper today, noon to 1. Big, tall, boring Kim. He's a good guy, though. Noon to 1 at the Davy Charhart, located at 9000 West Day Road 84. Stop by to spin the QM wheel for those really no-budget prizes and help celebrate Charhart's 30th
Absolutely.
About 30, man.
Anniversary. So Jackson's and Dania's having their 50th anniversary and Charhart their 30th. Isn't that exciting?
That's exciting, and I think I might go if I'm sober.
You might go to where? To Charhart?
No, to Jackson's.
Oh, you mean tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh. Now, do I still have that promo for their big thing tomorrow night?
Well,
I sure
don't,
hope
I'll
I do.
Send it again.
Or no, I don't. Oh, you mean tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh. Now, do I still have that promo for their big thing tomorrow night?
Well,
I sure
don't,
hope
I'll
I do.
Send it again.
Or no, I don't. Maybe I don't have to. Don't we have a spot for that today? I'm sure we have a spot. One moment, please. Let me check my log. I'm looking at my log, and I'm in tears.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I know precisely where it is. Here's a real surprise, Knott. Republicans today chose Representative John Boehner, succeeding fat-ass Speaker Denny Hastert, in the top GOP lead position over the Democratic-controlled House that convenes in January. Boehner defeated Indiana conservative Mike Pence. Boehner's election cements his resurrection within GOP leadership ranks, and his elevation as the party's frontline leader came despite unrest after a spirited campaign by Pence. Boehner succeeds, of course, Tom DeLay, the unctuous Tom DeLay, who's out. 1,094 votes on the poll. Will Easy have over 1,100 by 11? 11 by 11? And the response on that website is just unbelievable, and that's because we got a lot of fruitcakes out there.
Well, a couple of women, too.
I beg your pardon?
You don't think some women are checking that out, too?
We don't have any women.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We don't have any women. We got like maybe 40, 50 women listening to this show. We don't have. Being on this station, you just keep forgetting about it.
You're right.
In fact, I noticed there in that very last segment of the morning show after we switched over and forced me to. I was able to listen. And Kenny said, it's 9:58. And then he said, sports time. He forgot about it, but he wanted to make sure that he got that in. They've got a gun to his head, man. He's under tremendous pressure. You can bet your life on it. And that's why, I'll be honest with you, that's the only reason that I had Josh put those pictures of Brady Quinn up there, because he's a quarterback for Notre Dame. It's a sports thing. It's got nothing to do with the fact that he's naked and looks so hot. That's not got nothing to do with it. All our straight male audience out there, they don't want to hear about some hot-looking young guy that plays quarterback for Notre Dame. But it's a sports thing. And the fact that the sports fanatics are all
gay.
Like that, you know. Am I right? Isn't it a sports thing?
You answer that, Josh.
Yeah, why not?
Depends on what kind of sport you're into. U.S. President George, he's busy trimming now. Don't get that hair in the ice cream, man. That's gross. Oh, man.
No, no. Not again.
U.S. President George Bush was informed this week of an initiative to establish a center under his name in Israel.
Oh,
as a sign of gratitude for his support for the country and its security, for being so far bison. Outgoing Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Daniel Ayalon, I wonder if he's kin to Frankie Avalon, asked Bush for the go-ahead to establish such a center during a farewell meeting with the president and his deputy, Dick Cheney. Bush told Ayalon that freedom would be a worthy subject for the center to focus on. One moment, please. I'll be back in 10 seconds.
That was a bit important. It scared me and I dropped my spoon.
Yeah, we're all shaving our chest while we're on the air here.
I'm
killing
for
two
one.
Birds with one stone. Ayalon has yet to approach donors with a request to finance the establishment of the Bush Center in Israel. The Bush Center. But does not expect to encounter difficulties when it comes to raising the funds. The outgoing ambassador will continue to work on the matter with White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton. Meanwhile, Ayalon, who leaves the diplomatic service in a number of days, left Washington on Tuesday and flew out to the West Coast, where he's participating in a number of events before returning to Israel. Where they're probably giving him, like, lots more cluster bombs and nukes and stuff and saying, go get him! Ah, go get him before it's too late. Oh, no. Anna Carolina Reston. She's a model. She was a model in Rio. The mother of a Brazilian fashion model who died from complications of anorexia has made an emotional appeal for parents to take better care of aspiring young models. Anna Carolina Reston. She worked abroad and did some jobs for the Brazilian model agency, L'Equipe.
I worked abroad.
L'Equipe. Didn't work out, though, did it?
No.
The death of Anna Carolina Reston, 21, follows growing criticism of the use of underweight models in the fashion world. An issue given new significance after the death in August of Uruguayan model Luisel Ramos of heart failure during a fashion show in Montevideo. See, heart failure. Their hearts are given out. It's like a Karen Carpenter deal. Reston died Tuesday in Sao Paulo Hospital from a generalized infection caused by anorexia, an eating disorder in which sufferers obsessively deprive themselves of food in pursuit of the ultra-slim look, the pencil look, a walking pencil, man. Reston weighed only 88 pounds and was about 5 foot 8 inches tall. Doctors considered the normal weight for that to be a normal weight for a 12-year-old girl no more than about 5 feet tall. Take care of your children. Nobody's worth the life of your child. Not even the most famous fashion brand is worth this, her mother Miriam Reston told O Globo newspaper. She said her daughter had been trying to help the family with money she made as a model. Miriam spoke on national TV and to a local newspaper to highlight the tragedy. She said she had pleaded with her daughter to eat more, see a doctor, have a sandwich, go get some beef and bean burritos. Come with me to Taco Bell. She would reply, Mommy, don't mess me around, Miriam told O Estado de Sao Paulo. And that's the end of that story. She's dead. How do you like that? Eat. Manja, manja, man.
Really?
And then, of course, if you eat too much, then you're going to die, too. That's the kind of God you got, man. Very, very sadistic bastard. 1106 on our poll, by the way. 1106. There's not a lot of point in reading the result very often because, obviously, Rupert Murdoch's got it licked, especially with our crowd. We hate him like poison. Although I voted for Wayne just because I didn't want him to feel left out. I knew he was up against some stiff competition.
Right. Well, I voted for Donald.
Wayne, you pockmarked. I beg your pardon, Donald?
Even though I knew that Rupert is the more evil one, and, you know, that's what everyone was going to vote for.
Nice haircut, Donald.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting back to this OJ thing, which I don't want to spend much time on it. Here's the deal. Don't buy the book, and definitely don't watch the Fox thing.
Right.
Judith Regan, publisher of OJ Simpson's stupid-ass book, If I Did It, says she didn't pay him for the rights to publish his book, in which the one-time football superstar tells how he would have killed his ex-wife if, in fact, he had done it. This is the most stupid pile of crap. And again, like Fred Goldman keeps saying, because they got him on there every 5 minutes, just another slap in everybody's face is what it is.
Ow!
What I do know is I didn't pay him, Regan said in a statement published exclusively last night on the Fudge Report.
Fudge?
Contracted.
Did you say fudge?
Yeah. I contracted to a third party. Now, did you nuke the hot fudge or what?
I nuked the hot fudge and I poured it on my chocolate to get it chocolatier.
Am I right?
I'm going to pass out here in a minute.
Good. I contracted to a third party who owns the rights, and I was told the money would go to his children. That much I could live with, she said. His children, who, of course, by the way, are going to be watching this thing on Fox and reading the book, and everybody's going to be saying, hey, your daddy killed those people, kids.
They know.
Your slimeball daddy. The book deal reportedly was sold to HarperCollins for $3.5 million. The producer of a TV special Fox plans to wear in conjunction with the book confirmed that Regan's statement was authentic and said she was publishing it only on the Fudge Report and would not provide copies to other media outlets. She's in bed with Miss Fudge. Not for long, though. Regan said in the statement that she knew from my own experience that Simpson would be found not guilty of murdering his ex-wife, Nicole Brown, and her friend, Ron Goldman. Regan said that she knew Simpson would be acquitted because she herself had once been accused by abused by a boyfriend who manipulated, lied, and broke her heart. And then, after all but leaving me dead in the hospital, he left for good, she said. Regan said, I made the decision to publish this book and to sit face-to-face with the killer because I wanted him and the men who broke my heart and your hearts to tell the truth and confess their sins and to do penance and to amend their lives. Oh, yeah. Simpson was acquitted of the murder, we know that, but a beep, but a boop, but a bop, and all he was ordered to pay an estimated $35 million in damages. He's never paid a penny and never will to the Goldmans or the Browns or anybody else because he's a slimeball and a lowlife and a piece of crap who is admired and revered by some of the people who used to work and still work on this radio station. And we apologize for that profusely. And again, even though it's years later, we apologize for the fact that he was invited to show up at our charity golf tournament. See, that should have been the turning point right then and there. If I had any balls, if I had any brains, it would have been a lawsuit. I should have sued him for about $80 million. I should have taken their ass right to the cleaners. Greg Reed and Screw Ann and the Beasleys and this whole bunch and the Water Nazi, these jockstrap-sniffing lunatics.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
This is the Neil Rogers Show. This is your brain. Any questions?
No.
Some stations give you cash. Some stations give you cars. But this station is going to give you more. Because this station is going to give you...
the total human experience.
That's right. We're going to change your sex.
Change your sex.
See how the other half lives.
And love.
Discover just why you were so lousy in bed. Guys, learn what it's like to ask for directions. Girls, see what it's like to be a jerk.
Just keep listening.
And when you hear this sound, give us a call and we'll change your sex.
Change your sex.
Winners of the sex change receive an all-expense-paid trip to Sweden, where highly skilled surgeons will rip out the genitals, stuff them in a plastic bag, and shove in some new ones. Winners may keep their old genitals as a free gift. Employees of this station are not eligible to have their genitals ripped out free of charge, but must do so at their own expense.
You know you want to.
So change your sex.
Keep listening to win.
1102 at 560. Oh, speaking of Swedish whatever,
yeah.
There's another category. You admitted yesterday that, like, Asian young men and who else?
Indians. Right.
And Latinos, many of them. And what about Scandinavians? Are they hairy?
No.
Hairy men in Scandinavia?
No. The very fair have little hair.
Fair?
Hair.
You fair.
Oh, no. 1,122 votes on our poll today. It's almost as popular as those Brady Quinn pictures. I'm sure that every queen in America is looking at those. They're all over the Internet. And, of course, that's bad that I found that stuff. Because you punch a couple little buttons, Larry, and then you find all these naked people on there. You know what I'm saying, Larry?
Uh-huh.
I still can't get over that. There's some things that just bug me to the point. It's like that thing about somewhere there's a murderer out there on the loose. he was joking, wasn't he?
That was a big joke. Let's pretend it was.
No, I don't mean the murder was a joke. It was a tragedy like anybody else, but just, wow. Well, we are sports intensive, and if anybody in sports gets like a hangnail or something like that, we get really indignant and pissed off about it here on QAM and across the street, I'm sure. We get really upset and bent out of shape and cry like little women, like little ladies. Doug Thompson, your buddy on CapitolHillBlue.com, he's not too enchanted speaking to little ladies with Nancy Pelosi, and rightfully so.
Right, I don't like her either.
Pelosi and the Democrats, the lady and her tramps, he writes today in his rant on CapitolHillBlue.com. He says, after watching incoming Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's giddy, giggly, Katie Couric-style performance before the cameras Thursday, I had to wonder, is this bimbo ready for prime time? After being elected the first female speaker in the history of the old boys club called the House of Representatives, Pelosi, who promised quick, unflinching reform of the congressional cesspool, urged her colleagues to elect as her number two the ethics-challenged, lobbyist-pandering, pork-bloated John Murtha. The Democrats quickly put the little lady in her place and elected instead Maryland Congressman Steny Hoyer. The vote wasn't even close. Keep in mind that Hoyer is no saint. Like Murtha, he never met a lobbyist whose money he wouldn't take, and he sold his vote more than once, but at least he didn't get videotaped telling an undercover FBI agent posing as a sleazy con man that maybe we can do business once we get to know him. Despite all their promises of reform, Democrats seem to be well on their way to a business-as-usual way of doing things. Hoyer won because he cashed in favors, the standard way of getting things done in Congress. Murtha lost the majority leader's job, but Pelosi rewarded him with a key subcommittee chairmanship where he can keep cashing in on his contacts with fat cat defendant industry lobbyists. Then the new lady of the House paraded before the TV cameras and said, "Let the healing begin." What's next? Trot out Rodney King to say, "Can't we all just learn to get along?" Over on the other side of the Hill, Senate Republicans prove they haven't learned a damn thing from the election either, electing corrupt, bribe-taking Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell as their new leader and installing in a one-vote squeaker, racist Trent Lott, as his number two. Lott, whose razor-thin victory is being hailed as the comeback of the year by a media that gave far more attention to the lopsided vote against Murtha, lost his job as Senate leader a few years back for praising the overtly racist presidential campaign of former Senator Strom Thurmond. Lott immediately received calls of congratulations from fellow racists George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton. Perhaps Lott's ascension back to power is payback for the minorities voting Democratic this time. I can imagine the conversation between W. and Lott. Well, Trent, old boy, glad to have you back. Now we had those darkies and wetbacks on the run. McConnell, of course, is no beacon of light. He torpedoed campaign reform, openly promised the political action committee bosses that he would protect them as long as they keep writing out checks to the Republican Party. Those same bribe-paying lobbyists had best remember that the last time Republicans were in the minority, McConnell was on the floor of the Senate calling for elimination of PACs because they dared give money to Democrats. McConnell would pimp out one of his daughters for a campaign contribution. What we see here is clear indication that in spite of all the hoopla over the Democratic sweep of the House and Senate in last week's elections, nothing really changes. Isn't that what I said yesterday?
That's what you said.
Yeah. I didn't expect the Republicans to change their stripes, he says. The party of the elephant is so corrupt, so overridden with slime, that they, of course, turn to the same crooks, sleazebags, and con artists who have controlled their destiny for years. And while I held out faint hope that Pelosi might prove me wrong, she fell back into the old congressional habit of putting party loyalty above ethics. Her supporters claim she owed Murtha because it was his early opposition to the war in Iraq that helped put the issue in the nation's psyche and generate the voter anger that delivered a Democratic victory. And I've heard all the rationalizations about Murtha's unethical behavior. It happened a long time ago. He was never charged with taking a bribe and so on. Murtha has a long proven history of selling his vote and using the power of his office to benefit family and friends. Rationalizations of his actions normally come from partisan political pukes who would never ever accept such behavior by the other side. Pelosi's actions tell me that nothing will change in the House, nor can we expect any real change in the Senate, where new Majority Leader Harry Reid's checkered past, his record of shady real estate deals, show control of the body that is once again in criminal hands. The Mafia has a saying for this: new boss, same as the old boss. Never knew that the Mafia had that saying, did you?
I didn't know it came from the Mafia, but I'd heard that before.
Huh. In other words...
What are you going to do? Nice college boy, huh? They want to get mixed up in the family business? Now you want to gun down a police captain? Why, because he slapped you in the face a little bit? Huh? What do you think, this is the army where you shoot him a mile away? You got to get up close like this, and bing, you blow their brains all over your nice Ivy League suit. Come here. Mwah! You're taking this very personally.
Oh, God, I can't stand it. It's 1108 at 560 WQM. We got 1,138 votes in the pool. We're going to have some staggering number on there by 2 o'clock, aren't we? I don't know what it's going to be, but whatever it's going to be, it'll be staggering.
Listen, I'm going to be staggering.
And you're going to be staggering because of all that damn ice cream and all that stuff you're eating.
And you know what? This time I'm going to finish this tub.
Oh, God. Just out of spite.
Right.
Just because I can't have any.
I poured hot fudge on it, and I'm going to finish it.
Mmm. Oh, the only reason I'm going, I'm checking out those pictures again on our website. Don't forget, join Kimba Bocamper noon to 1 at the Davy Charhut, 9000 West State Road 84. Spin the wheel, and if you win, you get some of the crappiest QM prizes you ever got in your life. But that's not why you're going there. No, it's true. We're
that's
embarrassing.
Right. They're
going over there to say Kimba and help celebrate Charhut's 30th anniversary and to grab you some really good lunch, which you will be paying for, of course, but nevertheless. The U.S. government's promised that Americans will never be hungry again, but they may experience, wait till you hear this, very low food security.
Huh?
No more hunger, low food security. Every year, the Agriculture Department issues a report that measures Americans' access to food, and it's consistently used the word hunger to describe those who can least afford to put food on the table, but not this year, no more. Mark Nord, the lead author of the report, said hungry is not a scientifically accurate term for the specific phenomenon being measured in the food security survey. Nord, an Agriculture Department sociologist, said, "We don't have a measure of that condition." The department said 12% of Americans, 35 million people, couldn't put food on the table at least part of last year. 11 million, and this is why you're sitting there shoveling tubs of ice cream down your fat, disgusting puss.
Well, that ain't my fault, man.
11 million of them reported going hungry at times. Beginning this year, the Agriculture Department has determined very low food security to be a more scientifically palatable description for that group. Less embarrassing, you know, if you say there's millions of hungry Americans, it's but if you say there's millions of people who got low food security, it's like, what's that? The U.S. has set a goal of reducing the proportion of food insecure households to 6% or less by 2010, or half the 95 level, but it's proved difficult. Number of hungry Americans has risen over the past 5 years, and last year the share of food insecure households stood at 11%. Food insecure households. Less vexing has been the attempt to fix the way hunger is described. 3 years ago, the department asked the Committee on National Statistics of the National Academies to ensure that the measurement methods USDA uses to assess households' access or lack of access to adequate food and the language used to describe those conditions are conceptually sound and operationally sound. In other words, if you got a dumpster in the back of the house where you can go and pick off somebody else's garbage, then maybe you're not really hungry.
That's right, or not hungry enough.
Or maybe too hungry. Among several recommendations, the panel suggested the Agriculture Department scrap the word hunger, which should refer to a potential consequence of food insecurity that, because of prolonged and voluntary lack of food, results in discomfort, illness, weakness, or pain that goes beyond the usual uneasy sensation. Or maybe, in other words,
I'm dying over here.
Yeah, death. That's another side effect of unusual hunger, is death. Hunger is clearly an important issue, Nord said, but lacking a widespread consensus on what the word hunger should refer to, it's difficult for research to shed meaningful light on it. And, of course, all depending on what you're hungry for, you know what I'm saying?
Food?
Yeah, that could be one of it. Or like Miss Foley would say, yeah, sometimes you're hungry for a little something else.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is
maybe you want
Neil
a munch
Rogers,
on some of the more satisfying.
Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Excuse me, but I do believe that sucked ass. I am the Reverend Ted Haggard, former president of the National Association of Evangelicals. I have taken early retirement from that fine organization to pursue another calling. Not a higher calling, really, more of a lower calling. Much, much lower. And even though President Bush won't return my calls anymore, and I've been kicked out of my church, I found a new home on television. Beginning next Sunday, the Bravo Network will premiere my series, Queer Eye on the Preacher Guy. On the premiere episode, my special guest will be Neil Patrick Harris. And wasn't he cute when he was that little doogie Hauser MD? Neil and I will discuss several important topics, including when is a massage more than a massage? Saddam Hussein, evil man, but really hot in those boxer shorts. And we'll review the new Clay Aiken CD. Then, in the sports segment of my show, we'll open play in the Reverend Ted Haggard Cornhole Tournament. That's Queer Eye on the Preacher Guy with me, the Reverend Ted Haggard, Sundays on Bravo. It'll be so much fun, you'll think you just snorted meth with a male escort.
Oh, and speaking of that, you know, I would have a little bit more respect for Reverend Ted and Miss Foley if at least they had good taste, which neither one of them does. You know what I'm saying?
What are you saying?
I'm saying that their taste is in their tush. Nevertheless, wait till you hear this story, boy. Talk about getting caught with your Walmart down. My wife, Elizabeth, wanted to get a PlayStation 3 for my young children, John Edwards said, almost your vice president. She mentioned it in front of one of my staff people. The staff person mentioned it in front of a volunteer who said he would make an effort to get one. He was making an effort to get one for himself, Edwards said. Elizabeth and I knew nothing about this. He feels terrible about this. He made a mistake and knows he should have not used my name, Edwards said. Walmart had noted in a news release yesterday that on the same day Edwards was criticizing the company in a conference call with union-backed activists, the volunteer staff member had asked a Raleigh, North Carolina electronics department manager to obtain a PS3 for the ex-senator's family. Earlier Thursday, Edwards had said in a statement emailed by spokeswoman Kim Ruby, "We instructed no one to contact Walmart on our behalf." From Walmart headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas, company spokesman David Tovar said the Edwards staff member left a voicemail at the Raleigh store and identified himself as an Edwards staff member. When the manager returned the call, the staff member again identified himself as working with Edwards, and Walmart said it confirmed it with the Edwards office. The retailer issued a written statement yesterday accusing Edwards of not wanting to wait his turn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Fire that staff member.
While the rest of America's working families are waiting patiently in line, Senator Edwards wants to cut to the front, the Walmart statement said. This summer, Walmart hired Edelman executive Leslie Dash as its public relations director and put him on the company's executive team. Analysts predicted the retailer would likely become more aggressive toward its critics. Edwards, the Democrats' VP candidate in 2004, spoke Wednesday to supporters of union-backed WakeUpWalmart.com on a conference call launching the group's holiday season campaign to pressure Walmart for better labor standards. In the call, he repeated a story about his son Jack disapproving of a classmate buying sneakers at Walmart. If a six-year-old can figure it out, America can definitely figure this out, Edwards said. Previously, Edwards has appeared at Wake Up Walmart rallies. Edwards said the volunteer was a young kid, unaware of what he called flawed Walmart policies. He called the Walmart statement an effort to divert attention from its own problems.
Wah, wah, like a bunch of overgrown children. Wah, I want my PlayStation 3.
Wah. Yeah, I got news for him. If he could have gotten it there for his kid, he would have kissed their ass. Every one of them. All the Walmart employees could have lined up. He would have kissed each and every cheek five times. Am I right?
Probably. But what's that got to do with I just finished off my tub of ice cream?
I thought you were going to have another one.
Oh, good. Not right now.
Well, pace yourself. That's right. Wait
maybe
10 minutes.
Right. I mean, my brain's frozen, for Christ's sake.
You know who I'm really, really... And you guys are going to disagree because you think she's... like, you know, I am so sick and tired of Angelina Jolie. What is the big simus with her?
We've discussed that same thing here recently.
She couldn't hold a candle to Scarlett Johansson,
no,
for example, or even to Brady Quinn as far as being pretty.
I think she's still attractive, but she's been skeeved out, and her antics are not very attractive.
She's been shaved out?
Probably.
Boy, that's the pits. Indian police detained three of Angelina Jolie's bodyguards in New Delhi Friday after parents complained the men had mishandled and abused them and their children during a shoot of the Hollywood star's latest film. Police said British bodyguards had been taken into custody after receiving complaints about an incident at a Mumbai Islamic school where Jolie was filming a Mighty Heart. Angry parents had said the guards had threatened them and called them bloody Indians when they tried to get into the school to collect their children on Thursday. How do you like that? Bloody Indians. The film crew admitted that there had been some confusion at the school as the guards tried to keep the paparazzi out. We've arrested three people there in jail now and we've produced in court. Brajesh Singh, Mumbai's deputy commissioner of police, told Reuters he didn't give a date for a court hearing. Jolie had been in India for almost a month shooting on teeming streets and crowded trains for the film, which is based on the kidnapping and murder of American journalist Daniel Pearl in 2002 in Pakistan by hardline Islamist militants. The sultry actress is portraying Pearl's wife, Marianne. Now, what's that song, Come Back, Marianne, by Terry Gillison? Am I right about that? Boy, if I can remember that. Come on, Marianne, come back, Marianne, go to hell, Marianne. What was that? All day, all night, Marianne. Wasn't it the Kingston Trio? I don't know.
I think you're right.
Jolie, accompanied by her children and partner Brad Pitt, who is also the film's producer, and their children, has sparked a media frenzy, and the film set often attracts huge crowds, prompting the bodyguards to step in. See, even those people, even those Indians over there are like just nauseous from, their tongues hanging down to their knees. It's Angelina. It's Brangelina. The whole world is sick with this crap. Sick.
Yes,
real sick. Oogling and ogling over something that they're never going to have. They're not going to get it. It's like looking at that picture on our website. What's the point? He ain't coming over here.
Just for fun.
That's right. Just for fun and just to aggravate a lot of straight people. That's why I do it. 1161, and it works like a charm, I'm sure. Oh, there he goes again. Too bad. Now maybe some of you are beginning to understand how some of those fags feel about having always to hear about the straight guys and their conquest and this hot chick. Yeah. Fine, great, have a good time, just I don't want to hear about it. You know, payback is a bitch. Oh, and speaking of that, Gay Penguin book shakes up Illinois school.
Oh no.
Not another one of those
gay
stories. Yeah, Shiloh, Illinois.
Yeah, more of this homosexual agenda.
That's right, rubbing it in, so to speak. Rubbing it in deep, that's what Ms. Foley says. When in doubt, rub it out. Or whip it out. A picture book about two male penguins raising a baby penguin is getting a chilly reception among some parents who worry about the book's availability to children and the reluctance of school administrators to restrict access to it. Huh. The concerns are the latest involving And Tango Makes Three, the illustrated children's book based on a true story of two male penguins in New York City's Central Park Zoo that adopted a fertilized egg and raised the chick as their own. Complaining about the book's homosexual undertone, some parents of Shiloh Elementary School students believe the book, available to be checked out at the school's library in this 11,000-resident town 20 miles east of St. Louis, tackles topics their children are ready to handle, like homosexual penguins. I wonder what Burgess Meredith would think about this. Their request, move the book to the library's regular shelves and restrict it to a section for mature issues, perhaps even requiring parental permission before a child can check a parental permission to be checked out. The district attorney said moving it might be construed as censorship. Oh, we don't want to do that, do we, in America?
Yes.
Filial considers the book adorable and age-appropriate, written for kids ages 4. Pinto thought the book looked charming when her 5-year-old daughter brought it home in September. Del Pinto, I wonder if she's kin to, what's his name? Domenico Modugno, Nel Blu de Pinto de Blu, remember that?
No.
Volare, anyway, forget about it. Del Pinto said she was halfway through, see, I do these because only Chicken Neck will know what I'm talking about, so he and I get a chuckle out of it. Del Pinto said she was halfway through reading it to her daughter when the zookeeper said the two penguins must be in love. That's when I ended the story, she said. Oh, how ridiculous, two male penguins being in love? That would be like two men being in love.
Who ever heard of such a thing?
No. Del Pinto said her daughter's teacher, in fact, that's probably why most guys get along better with their mother than with their father, because you don't want to love another man. That's bad. Del Pinto said her daughter's teacher told her she was unfamiliar with the book, and the school's librarian directed her mother to Filial. I wasn't alarmed with pitchforks. I wasn't armed with pitchforks. I innocently was seeking answers, Del Pinto said, agreeing with Filial's belief that pulling the book from the shelves could constitute censorship. The book has created similar flaps elsewhere. Of course, isn't that what penguins do? They flap.
Yeah,
earlier this year, two parents voiced concerns about the book with librarians at the Rolling Hills Consolidated Libraries branch in the northwest Missouri town of Savannah. Barbara Reed, Rolling Hills director, said she had consulted with staff members at the Omaha, Nebraska, and Kansas City zoos and the University of Oklahoma Zoology Department, who told her adoptions aren't unusual in the world of penguins. They like to adopt an egg, and then they cook it up for lunch. She said the book was then moved to the nonfiction section because it was based on actual events. In that section, she said there was less of a chance the book would blindside somebody in the friction section. Oh, my God. This is what people are worried about. This is the kind of stuff that the Getschkes are worried about. Oh, brother, I'm so glad that we can cause so much angst and grief and sorrows. 1,165 votes on 1,176. Wow, they're coming in chunks now, in big, oozing chunks. What the hell is going on here now? Oh, it must be the big Thanksgiving rush.
That must be it.
Because, you know, once it gets to be Thanksgiving, from then till after New Year's, we might as well be talking to ourselves. You don't understand that. And I'm so relieved to hear that the Dolphins play on Thanksgiving Day. The Lions?
That's right.
You do realize that they could actually beat the Vikings this week because the Vikings are a girls' team. The Patriots pounded them silly a week ago Monday night, and they suck. And then Detroit, I mean, that's another little girls' team that make the Vikings look like Super Bowl contenders. So the Dolphins could wind up winning four in a row, and everybody's saying, look at this, we're on the way to the Super Bowl. Yeah, well, can't you hear it now?
Yeah.
Can't you just hear it? I can not only hear it, I can smell it.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
It's Friday, you bastard.
Jesus Christ. Oh! Movie star.
You fairy.
Are you as Mel Gibson says you are?
Yeah. Mel Gibson used to be the star of Lethal Weapon. Now he's making movies about the crucifixion.
Get the Christianist all upset. Who was it? Used that in one of the articles that I read yesterday. The Christianist.
That's Ted Rall.
As good as the. Was it Ted Rall?
Yes,
all
it
right,
was.
You go,
our
Ted. 11:32 at 560 WQAM. Don't forget, Mad Dog is doing a show at Hooters and Pompano today, 2 to 4. And Bo Kemp, Pumper, is going to be at the Charhut and Davy noon to 1. Well, it's coming up pretty soon. Then we better plug it again. So I guess the coast is clear starting at noon. You can get out the next tub of ice cream and dig right into it.
Oh, then they could wheel me out.
Well, how big are these tubs? I mean, like a pint?
More than that, like a...
quart, half gallon.
A quart, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Each tub is a quart?
I don't know.
And you're going to have 2 quarts? That's a half a gallon of ice cream, you lunatic.
It's more than a pint.
Boy, you're going to be spending a lot of time, a lot of busy reading time this weekend on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Tristan and his old. Anyway, maybe Josh knows. He, you don't know. You don't want to know. His stepbrother, remember he was adopted in the movie or in the early part of the movie?
No, I don't remember.
George, remember how he was... You saw that part of the movie.
Right, I did.
And that kid was his stepbrother, and he grew up together in that family. And he looked like his twin brother. Putting naked pictures of guys on our website the last 24 hours.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, I'd be more than happy to put more naked chicks on there, but you know, you're going to have to be responsible for it and go into jail. You'll have a good time in there. Well, here's more PlayStation 3 crap. Aren't you a little bit tired of this crap? No.
No.
A lot of demand, too few supplies, says the Herald. In a scene that experts predicted would play out across the nation, there were only 34 PlayStation 3 consoles available at Best Buy in Dataland when the store's doors opened at 8 o'clock this morning. Only 34. But over 100 people, mostly in their late teens and early 20s, had congregated on the sidewalk outside the store for as long as 6 days. I wonder if Larry King was there waiting for his.
Uh-huh.
And in less than 10 minutes, all 34 PlayStations were sold for $500 to $600. The new PlayStation 3 owners carried away their heavy consoles and talked of plans to shower and sleep. Less lucky customers left tired and dejected. Extra employees were hired to work early as well as extra security to ensure the process would go smoothly. People in line received numbered tickets. Only 10 people were allowed into the store at a time when the doors opened. That's a good orderly way to do it, instead of allowing all these lunatics to go forcing their way in there and knocking each other over. One young man walked out and resold his PlayStation for $2,000 to a man who was planning on selling it for more on eBay, where bids were creeping over $3,000. Only 400,000 PlayStation 3s available in the USA. Best Buy employees attempted to clean up the debris left by people in line, but there was a bit of an obstacle. Three people were already in line for Nintendo's Wii console. Let's see. What is this? What is this? What does that mean?
Get him excited, I mean, refers to Chicken Neck, I assume.
Oh.
What was the dog called?
All this old stuff. Nobody wants to live. Plunk your magic twanger, Froggy. Andy Devine on the Buster Brown Show. I remember that, but I sure don't remember no dog. $1,199 on the pool. $1,199. We're going to be... Let me refresh it. I bet you we got $1,200. I'll bet you anything. I'll bet you that next quart of ice cream. $1,199 on the pool. $1,199. We're going to be... Let me refresh it. I bet you we got $1,200. I'll bet you anything. I'll bet you that next quart of ice cream. Oh, it's still $1,199, so I lost. See, it's good. The Lord is looking over me. He's looking out for me. $1,199 votes still. Isn't that something? Now, wouldn't you think any other time you'd refresh it, it would be like enacted in 1947. Opponents fear the move could help fan a resurgence of nationalism, like I just said. Teachers should foster love of the nation and homeland, the fatherland. They are worried because Japan's military leaders used patriotism to justify the expansionism which led to WWII. The bill calls on teachers to instill thinking among students respecting tradition and culture and loving the nation and homeland, the fatherland. Japan's new Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, whatever his name is, Abe Lincoln, has strongly backed the bill. In a weekly email, he said Japan's education system has not sufficiently addressed ideas such as moral values, ethics, and self-discipline and self-abuse. He also mentioned a recent spate of bullying incidents, which he said would lead parents concerned the education system needed reform. Conservative groups have long argued for a revision of the current law, saying people should learn national pride as Japan assumes a more active diplomatic and military role on the international stage. The bill passed after the opposition boycotted the vote and now goes to the upper house, where the government hopes to win approval before the current parliamentary session ends on December 15. According to the BBC's Tokyo correspondent Chris Hogg, Japan has become a lot less cautious about patriotism than it used to be. 7 years ago, a piece of music that honors the emperor became the national anthem, and the rising sun flag became the emblem of the Japanese state. And now just about everybody in Asia is turning Japanese. But the government would argue that the country's pacifist constitution is preeminent and that no one has anything to fear from a more patriotic Japan. Right. Nobody has anything to fear from anybody. Everybody's like peace-loving and, mm-hmm. You know. 1205 on the poll, thank God. Boy, that would have been bad if it would have got stuck there at 1199. And I would have started losing. See, I'm doing that just to, you know, to show a little empathy for you guys.
To share the love. We appreciate it.
Well, because you're just shoving down just gobs and gobs of that Jackson's ice cream.
Now I'm swooning.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Reminds me of the day the woman brought the Rogaloff in. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Just covered with powdered sugar. And I'm going to tell you, I was so sick. I would have wished I had my thing there so I could have pricked my finger and taken my blood sugar. I bet it was like over 500.
You would have broke the machine.
That's like the woman that kept bringing the Smarties to the hockey games. I kept telling her, don't bring me any candy. Oh, don't you understand? I'm diabetic. I'm going to get sick as hell, okay? Mm-hmm. And she'd bring them to me, and I would, oh, gee, I don't want these. And she would insist I take them. And, of course, I would eat them because I had them. Hey. When you're addicted to something, if you've got it in your hand, you'll eat it.
They should just brought you crack cocaine.
Might as well.
Had more control over that.
Brings me these things as Smarties at the hockey game. Thank God I'm not there to go to the game so people bring me all that food like your accountant brought me that damn stuff that time. That diet halava, don't you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was on the throne. I felt like a king and a queen. Good God. What was his name? David. David the Farbison, who brought in the tzitzis and the tefillin that day and practically killed you right on the ear. That was good. He wrapped the tefillin around George's arm and talk about purple veins.
Right.
My God.
Now I know why they daven.
Yeah, they're rocking back and forth because their circulation is cut off because they can't breathe.
They're falling over and then trying
they're
to stand
all going,
back up.
I'm dying over here.
Just like that in Yiddish.
Good guy, David. He's probably listening right now.
Well, hub him in the bud.
Hub him in what?
The biggest names of best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Teeth, damn it, I'd kick my own ass outside.
My religion's better than your religion. My religion's better than yours.
All right.
My beliefs are what's required to avoid a lake of fire. My religion's better than yours.
My religion's better than your religion. My religion's better than yours. Why, my religion advocates bigotry and racial hate. My religion's better than yours. My religion's better than your religion. My religion's better than yours. What we like about it best, I fondle boys and wear a dress. My religion's better than yours.
My religion is better than your religion.
My religion's much better than yours. We have no respect for women. Drive a cab to make a living. My religion's better than yours.
My religion's better than yours.
Religion.
My religion's much better than yours.
Chupacabra, spooky ghost. We slaughter pigs and dogs and goats. My religion's better than yours.
Absolutely.
My religion's better than your religion. My religion's better than yours.
Boy!
We wear beanies and pigtails and never ever pay retail. My religion's better than yours.
My religion's better than your religion.
My religion's better than yours.
We knock on doors to bother you like fuller brush to spew our views.
My religion's better than yours.
You fairy!
My religion's better than your religion.
My religion's much better than yours.
We wear ties and ride our bikes and get to marry lots of wives. My religion's better than yours.
My religion's better than your religion. My religion's better than yours.
We don't want to use our brains. We're mindless lemmings on parade. My religion's better than yours.
My cartoon characters are better than yours, I'll tell you that. 14 till noon at 560 WQM. All the fairy tales, all the time. You starting on the second tub or not?
No, man, I'm saving that. I'm going to take some home.
You're going to take it home. That's a good idea. That's a seller idea. Then you can pass out on the floor at home. Instead of passing out on the floor right there, like Josh's predecessor.
I'll never get home if I eat another one of those.
1,216 votes on the poll. They hate Rupert Murdoch like poison and wishes he would die a brutal, grotesque death. Don't they wish is it that?
Yeah, they do. Any death would do, but brutal is better.
It was the key to a $1 billion-a-year illegal gambling kingdom, a laptop computer that authorities say was owned by a professional poker player from Miami named James Giordano. Giordano, who rarely let the computer out of his sight, left it behind earlier this year in New York while attending a wedding, police said this week. But in the 3 hour... Oh, and by the way, speaking of this week, before I finish this story, aren't you on vacation next week?
Yes.
Well, you didn't say nothing about it this morning before the show as a reminder to a doddering old man.
Hey, I'm on vacation next week.
No. And then, of course, Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, and the Lions and the Dolphins are going to be suiting up. They're going to be lining up.
So I'm told.
Yeah. So we got no show on Thursday. That's what we like. That's the only good thing about this time of the year is that there's all these holidays and lots of extra days off. You got Christmas Day and, of course, Boxing Day. That week I'm off anyway. You taking off for Boxing Day? No.
Sure, why not? Whatever. What is
Giordano,
it?
Who rarely let the computer out of his sight, left it in New York, but in the 3 hours he and his wife were away from their Long Island hotel room, investigators armed with a search warrant and computer expertise sneaked in, found the laptop on a desk, and made a digital copy of the hard drive. The covert operation on June 15 helped unlock a sophisticated internet-based gambling scheme that has taken in $3.3 billion in cash wagers from 40,000 bettors nationwide since 2004. Authorities announced charges against Giordano, 26 other defendants, and three companies, including one in Hollywood, another one in Davie. Oh, boy. This is the largest illegal gambling operation we have ever encountered, said New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly. It rivals casinos for the amount of betting. How do you like that?
Mm-hmm.
At first, FBI agents and Dade County Police tried to trick Giordano, 52, into letting them onto his property. They phoned him from a call box next to the entrance gate of his walled Pinecrest estate, saying they needed to get in to catch a burglar. He said,
no.
Forget about it. Get lost. Armed with arrest and search warrants, they then climbed over Giordano's 4-foot wall and knocked on his front door. They arrested him around 6 a.m. Tuesday, and he was placed in police custody. FBI spokesman. Do you hear that?
What was that?
Hear that?
Smoke?
No.
Gas?
No, it's, I think, emphysema. FBI spokeswoman Jody Orjuela said FBI agents also searched the South Florida homes of some other suspects and the offices of companies involved. Arrested at his Long Island home in Seaford, New York, was Frank Falzerano, whose name also ends in a vowel.
Oh!
Identified by prosecutors as scout for the Washington Nationals Baseball Club, Falzerano, 52, allegedly was a top earner in a network of 2,000 bookies. Prosecutors claimed the ring ran gambling wire rooms in Miami and on the Caribbean island of San Martin, where operators took bets and kept records. I wonder if that's near San Cristobal. Bookers assign clients a secret code to track their wagers, monitor point spreads, and results through a restricted website. I'm not going to read the website. Their bets were open on all kinds of sports, including football, baseball, basketball, hockey, auto racing, and golf. Now we're talking. You show me somebody that bets on golf, I'll show you a real sicko. Somebody really sick. There's one thing I can't stand is people who gamble. The defendants laundered and stashed away untold millions of dollars using shell corporations' bank accounts in Central America, the Caribbean, Switzerland, Schweiz, Hong Kong, and elsewhere, said Queens, New York DA Richard Brown. Dick Brown. The prosecutor called the $500 million asset forfeiture case among the largest of such cases ever filed. The 27 people in New York, New Jersey, Florida, and Nevada were charged with money laundering and promoting gambling, among other counts. Giordano waived extradition in Florida, is expected to be arraigned next week. Prosecutors didn't have the name of his attorney. Falzarano, who was ordered held on a $500,000 bail after pleading not guilty, looks forward to defending himself in court, said defense attorney Peter Tamao, whose name also ends in A, but a different deal. Charges were also brought against three companies that allegedly helped Giordano develop and secure the website, Primary Development of Farmingdale, New York, Prolexic Technologies of Hollywood, and Digital Solutions of Davie. No officials at the companies would comment. They're mum. How do you like that? Right there in Florida, baby. Mm-hmm. Out there in Florida somewhere, there's a killer on the loose. You know who you are. Turn yourself in. Do the right thing. Right?
Absolutely. I mean...
Absolutely.
We need to do something about this right here on this radio station. You think Dick Tracy was a big shot with that Crime Stoppers crap. You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till we turn loose some of our sports nerd people. Look at that. Dutch government proposes ban on wearing burkas in public. Critics say the burka ban would amount to religious discrimination. You go, you Dutch. You crazy bastards. You go. Burka my ass.
Yeah, that's a good idea in your case.
What a joke. Dutch government proposes ban on wearing burkas in public. That's one of the best ideas. Yeah.
Freaking great.
A U.S. soldier who raped a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and helped to kill her family has been sentenced to life in prison with possible parole. Specialist James Barker was one of four serving soldiers charged over the killings in the Iraqi town of Mumadia, which happened in March. He pleaded guilty and agreed to help prosecutors in an effort to avoid the death penalty. He could serve up to 90 years in prison, the presiding judge said. Yeah, he could serve up to 90 years, my ass. Why do they always say such stupid things?
Because they do.
He could serve up to 500 years in prison, you know, if he lived that long, but... This court sentences you to be confined for the length of your natural life with the eligibility of parole, Lieutenant Colonel Richard Anderson said. He's expected to be eligible for parole in 20 years. Specialist Barker was among four soldiers accused of the rape of the girl and the murder of her family. The three others, Sergeant Paul Cortez, Private Jesse Spielman, and Private Brian Howard, are facing court-martial proceedings. A fifth man, former soldier Stephen Green, has been charged in a civilian court in Kentucky with murder and sexual assault. He's denied the charges. Before the judgment was handed down on Thursday, yesterday, James Barker was told, he told the court that Mr. Green had come up with a plan for the rape and the killings. Mr. Green. He brought it up to me and asked what I thought about it. It's like when Bush talks about the evildoers and says, these folks, you know, these folks. Same thing with Mr. Green.
Well, they're folksy.
By the time we started changing clothes, it was more or less a nonverbal agreement that we were going to go along with what we were discussing, Barker said. He also confessed that he hated Iraqis, telling the judge, they can smile at you, then shoot you in your face without even thinking about it. But he added that Iraq had made him angry and mean, yet that he regretted his actions, telling the court he didn't set out to kill or deliberately harm people in Iraq. He said, I want the people of Iraq to know that I didn't go there to do the terrible things that I did. I don't ask anyone to forgive me today. And we don't. You butcher, you murderer. Somewhere in this town, on the loose. Military prosecutors didn't comment after the judgment was passed because the three other soldiers still face courts-martial. Get that right now. Courts-martial. See, George is, he's fine with that. He likes that.
I don't like the way it sounds either, but that's...
I don't like it.
It's correct, but...
They face court-martials.
Yeah. Who's?
Like in Marshalls, Michigan. Let's go to Winchula's for lunch and get some of that bar cheese. Oh, that's right. You probably don't have a big appetite right now.
No.
I still keep thinking about that turkey dinner they used to have where you could get seconds for free. Turkey and stuffing and vegetables. Yams, whatever. It's a long time ago. 1965, Marshall, Michigan, WMRR. Wow. Followed by WSTR in Sturgis, Michigan in 1966. I was the Marco Polo of Tiny Market Radio for a while there. And then, of course, made the big time in Kalamazoo at WTPS. That was the big time, man, Kalamazoo. Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was then. Who would have thought? I wonder if Durwood ever... a lot of those people are probably dead. Can you imagine all the people that we used to know who are probably dead by now? I mean, people we worked with, people who were listeners, people were just people, you know. Mm-hmm. Like Bob, like Bab says, people who are used to be people. And now they're like rotting bones and flesh. The worms are having a field day. I shouldn't have said that because then you won't eat any more ice cream. How's Josh doing on the ice cream? He had like two tubs today or what?
No, I'm going to have to wait before I dive into my second.
Yeah, otherwise he'll be missing for about 45 minutes. It'd be really bad if you go there and it's a full house.
I'll pull a beaner, boy, but chocolate will be coming out of my nose and mouth.
Hola.
People. Nose.
Rectum.
People who need people.
Man, can she sing?
No.
Can she belt out about an 18th of an ounce of sound or what?
Wow. As if I wasn't ready to swoon already.
Yeah. 532 votes on the poll, in case you are wondering what's that poll all about. Well, I don't know if we want to tell you or not. I guess we will. Which ultra-rich person do you despise the most? Rupert Murdoch, he's got it down his pants. 411, hands down. I hate them all, 168. Sound really jealous to me. Sound bitter. Oprah, 162. Donald Trump, 158. Wayne Huizinga, 141. Those are the only big shooters on there. I hate this poll's only got 75.6%. George Steinbrenner, only 63. Ted Turner, 35. Bill Gates, 19. And Warren Buffett has still only got 5. I'm sure they're thinking of Jimmy Buffett.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers. Sports Radio 560 UAM.
This is Coach Don Shuler, and I sound like Bob Hope on acid. And I want to tell you, it's the 12 to 1 hour, or whatever it is.
Goodbye, Rumsfeld. Drop dead and burn in hell. It's much too late to confess that Iraq was just for oil. We hope you die of festering boil.
Yes.
You know you're pretty stinking old, but evil never dies, so how about a nice refreshing dunk on the waterboard that your pals at Blackwater asked for? And there were many unknowns, and knowns you didn't know, that mostly were unknowns. Go tell the Germans about your plans for concentration camps. Your Pentagon press agency has met its end. Just like Bush on down, you're a failure and disgrace, the harbinger of death.
Promo 2 at 560. Happy Friday to you, although we have some people out there who don't want us to be happy, no matter what it is. Here's Herb in Coral Springs, who's a real pain in the ass, by the way. Remember Herb?
No, do I?
Always a kvetch. He's a kvetch. Anyway, he says, it's rough streaming today. Lots of dropouts and knockoffs. Yesterday was perfecto. Yesterday we had complaints up the old ear.
Sure.
Lots of dropouts and knockoffs. Well, I thought a knockoff was like a ripoff of a brand-name product.
Right.
What is a knockoff on audio?
Or it's a hit.
Still hoping to hear someday that you'll be moving to Sirius. Hi, George. Thanks, Herb and Coral Springs. Hey, Herb, get lost. We have no other complaints. Everything is just fine.
Oh, we're fine.
I see 9 dropouts, though, on the, although it's still a green light is on there on my thing.
Mm-hmm.
On the whatever it is. Oh, speaking of the internets, YouTube. YouTube. The popular online video hosting service has issued a cease and desist order to blogger Michael Arrington of TechCrunch, demanding he remove a downloadable tool which captures videos from the site, Technology Daily reports. Arrington had created the program and maintains that it does not violate YouTube service, terms of service. Excerpts from the article, a cease and desist letter sent by the video sharing site YouTube to a well-known technology pundit has rankled bloggers in the last 24 hours. It's rankled them. We've got dropouts and they were getting rankled. TechCrunch's Michael Arrington received a letter earlier this week from Wilson, Sonsini, Goodrich, and Rosati attorney Karen Swope, who accused him of violating the
YouTube
term of use, of tortious interference in business relationships, of committing an unfair business practice, and of false advertising. All of these things. Arrington said on his blog that TechCrunch's offense was developing a small tool that lets people download
YouTube
videos to their hard drives. The application was referenced in a recent post that told readers how to move
YouTube
videos to their portable digital devices. Arrington, who launched TechCrunch in June of last year, said he created a new tool after carefully reviewing the terms of
YouTube,
which state, if you download or print a copy of the content for personal use, you must retain all copyright and other proprietary notices contained therein. You understand what that means?
No.
No. Haven't got a clue, and obviously he doesn't either.
They got a lot of chutzpah, considering that they were, allowing copyrighted contract on there for ages.
Boy, does he have a lot of chutzpah.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
Copywritten, I should say.
And they were being threatened with 80 billion lawsuits, and you got all this copyrighted stuff on there, and you better cease and desist and cut the crap and all of that. I say it's out there in space. You know, it's out there in space. It's in the etheric.
That's right. And if you can grab it, grab it.
That's right. If you got a chance to get it, grab it. Just like those pictures I got on our website. If you got a chance to get your hands on it, grab it. Like a handbag. Ooh. Anyway, get off of that, okay? Between the ice cream and Brady Quinn, you're a bad influence, okay? Very important death, and you didn't even remind me to talk about it.
What? Huh?
Economist Milton Friedman dies.
I mentioned that this morning.
When?
When I saw it on my celebrity death beeper thing.
You mentioned that, too, to me?
Yeah.
The hell you do.
You were ignoring me like you always do.
Yeah, well, probably. Probably for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably before I was in here. You're probably saying, oh, Melvin Friedman, I probably had the toilet paper off.
Well, I was making a joke because I'd never heard of him. He's like 93 or something.
94.
Oh.
More than old enough. 94. Good God. Do you realize if I was to live to 94, how many more years that would be?
About 30, man.
Oh, boy. No chance. Not with all this bad blood sugars and all that ice cream and stuff. And now you got my appetite all whipped up. I'm going to go over to my neighborhood Dominion, my supermarket, and see what kind of big quarts they got, you know, or half gallons or big tubs of goopy stuff, you know. Like, no, I'm not. Sounds good, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Mm. Although right now a cot sounds good.
Milton Friedman, Nobel Prize-winning economist who championed individual freedom, influenced the economic policies of three presidents, and befriended world leaders, died yesterday. He was a mere 94. He was just a spring chicken. Got a picture of him and his wife, Rose, in their San Francisco apartment in October. Looks to me like she beat him by about 10 years, but she's still he's still grabbing onto her. Good God. Woo! He don't look too bad in that picture, although now he probably don't look quite as good. He died in San Francisco, said Robert Fanger, a spokesman for the Milton and Rose Friedman Foundation in Indianapolis. He didn't know the cause of death. Indianapolis, what a glacier place for his foundation. Milton Friedman revived the economics of liberty when it had been all but forgotten, said former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, one of the politicians and colleagues who lauded Friedman yesterday. He was an intellectual freedom fighter. Never was there a less dismal practitioner of a dismal science. In numerous books, a Newsweek magazine column, and a PBS show, Friedman championed individual freedom in economics and politics. The longtime University of Chicago professor pioneered a school of thought that became known as the Chicago School of Economics. His work is still widely influential in the business world, academia, and politics. His theory of monetarism was adopted in part by the Nixon, Ford, and Reagan administrations. It opposed the traditional Keynesian economics that dominated U.S. policy since the New Deal. He was a member of Reagan's Economic Policy Advisory Board. I wonder if we still have that bit, the Ronnie Reaganomics, Supply-Side Economics Blues, by that country singing guy, which I can't think of his name right now. What was his name? Remember where he called in that one day? He called in on the air that day, that political guy, back from the INZ days. Boy, those are the days, man. Had a good time in those days. Where'd you get that?
From the DCS. That means you have it, too.
It's under Ronnie Reagan. What's that under?
Supply-Side Blues.
Get out of here.
I had to shorten it so that it would fit in the little, you know, title bar there.
Supply Side Blues my ass.
Yeah.
I don't have that in here.
Sure you do.
I know I do not.
How could you not? I sure as hell didn't put this in here recently.
I don't got it. I want that.
Well, tell me on Monday and I'll feed it up to you.
Frank Locato. Frank X. Locato, that's his name.
Very good.
He called in that one day. Remember,
uh-huh.
He sounded like he's about 100 years old? At any rate, he was a political, he was a Bobby Graham kind of guy. An anti-Reagan guy, which is fine in my book. That's back during the old WINZ days. Any remember those?
No.
Unless you're really old, like me. 1,249 votes. I beg your pardon?
Look what somebody just faxed in.
What's that?
Thugs rob people in PlayStation 3 waiting in line and shoot one.
Oh, and Lincoln's got a bad headache. And he's also
gay.
But beside that, don't forget to get over to Char Hunt and Davey. Kim Bocamper is waiting to see you right now and watch you spin that wheel and say, oh, boy, you won, but wait till you see what you won, one of those QAM prizes. And then they'll go like that. Kim is there now till 1 o'clock at the Davey Char Hut, which you guys love Char Hut Wednesdays because they bring in food for everybody on Wednesdays now. Boy, it's a damn good thing I'm not doing my shows there. I'd be dead.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Davey Char Hut's at 9000 West State Road 84. Stop by to spin that QAM wheel. Spin the veal. Like that. And help celebrate Char's 30th anniversary. Say hi to Kim and say, boy, you're killing that Kenny Walker in the morning with that sports crap. With all those segments, you know, those prefabricated segments. Oh, my God. You're just killing that poor child. But nevertheless, that's George's comment. My take is I don't hear it anyway. I mean, George listens religiously.
That's right. Every day.
Frank X. Locato. So how can that be in there and it's not in here?
I don't know unless you blew it out. For some reason,
I don't have the ability to do that. I can't do that. I can't
cart number.
Blow anything out of here that I didn't put in here myself. You know how that works.
I do.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just one of those things.
It's under Supply Side Blues.
Supply Dash Side Blues.
No.
Right
no
in
gods.
Between Supermarket Mo.
No gods.
And Supreme Court Sex. Supply Dash Side Blues.
No.
Right
no
in
gods.
Between Supermarket Mo.
No gods.
And Supreme Court Sex.
Wait a minute. Supreme Court sex?
Uh-huh. It's right above it.
And supermarket. Well, I got Supreme Court in between those two. I got this.
Bush has another appointment to make.
I got that. You don't have that?
I don't have that.
Wow. Well, I would.
Supreme Court Pyramid Winner Circle.
Oh, I love this.
For a spot on the nation's highest court, start the clock.
Oh, the Great Wall of China. Michael Moore.
Things you can see from outer space.
Right.
You read.
Gretzky. Frosted Flakes. President Bush.
Things that are the greatest.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM. The biggest names, the best talent, and Miami Hurricanes football.
Throwing far side, left out of it. Ryan Moore for the touchdown.
Oh, my God.
Tomorrow, the Hurricanes take on the Virginia Cavaliers at Scott Stadium. Hurricanes game day starts our coverage at 9 a.m. Presented by Bell South. Kickoff is set for 12 here on Sports Radio 560 QAM.
It's Friday, you bastard.
560 WQAM presents the Mo Howard David Show, live from Pantry Pride at Cypress Creek Plaza.
Oh, yeah, the Mo Howard and David here at Pantry Pride with my trained monkey, Geldity. Look, three samples of baklava.
Yeah?
Put one in there.
Okay.
And a more. Put some more in there.
How many, Mo?
There's a whole tray there.
The whole tray?
The sign says free, don't it?
No.
Now, put them in the cart.
Okay.
The sign, too.
Okay.
Now, where's the roasted peppers?
I don't know.
Never anyone around when you think, oh, mister.
Yes?
Oh, it's you. Where can I find the roasted peppers?
Ooh.
Go to the aisle between G and I. Why didn't you just tell me to go to H?
You said it, I didn't.
Yeah, yeah, Weisenheimer. Hey, look, there's an open cashier over there.
That's the expressway. You got 30 items in there.
Yeah, but they're small.
About 30, man.
They don't count them anyway.
Oh.
Now, get over there. What I do with my checkbook.
Oh. You're one of those, aren't you?
Well, I'm writing a check, so what?
That means you're floating. That means you're floating.
Float this, you moron.
No!
Yo, Mo.
Yeah,
oh, hi, Greg.
I just want to congratulate you on a very entertaining show. You know, I always thought radio shows should be done live from a grocery store.
Yeah, thanks. Can I go home now?
Oh, sure, sure. Watch out for Mr. Whipple.
Don't squeeze. Don't squeeze. Don't squeeze. Don't squeeze.
Okay, blame George for that, because I never would have played that again in a million years if you wouldn't have said it. And I thought, well, let's play that. I haven't played that in a billion years.
If I hadn't said what? Oh, Supermarket Mo.
We were looking for the thing there, supply side economic. So anyway, during the last break, there's a knock on the door, speaking of Mo.
All right.
And I'm sitting here in my underwears, and I hear, and it's my office supply stuff.
All right.
I got my case of fax paper and a couple of toner cartridges. Isn't that exciting or what? So now they're delivering it right to the door, so I don't have to go schlep downstairs and get one of those carts, you know, and schlep it up the elevator and the whole deal. An old man like me shouldn't be schlepping heavy stuff like that, like a case of fax paper.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Whatever that means. So that was nice, and, you know, I signed the thing, and he left this crap off there, some Schwarzer guy, I mean, some black guy. 1,200, that's all that word means, okay? Schwarz means black. These people get all bent out of shape. I don't want to mention no names.
Oh, my God,
under the guise of shtick. Yeah, shtick it. Shtick it, Mo, you old, silly old Jew. 1,274 votes on the poll. Oh, you're going to love this. This is one of my favorites. Yesterday afternoon, the United Nations rejected a call by Jedi Knights in England for recognition of the Jedi faith as an official world religion, according to Ross Story. Tolerance for the Jedis. Here's some bag she's holding up a sign. Tolerance for the Jedis. A story in the English tabloid The Sun reported a appeal to departing Secretary General Cup of Coffee Annan by the Jedi worshippers for official recognition of their religion. Why not? Isn't any more ridiculous than any of the other ones?
Especially like that Scientology. That's a sci-fi based religion.
The Sun Day of Tolerance changed to an interstellar day of tolerance. Dejaric. With or without lightsabers, he added. Oh, Stefan, not Stephanie. Excuse me, Stefan. You look like a girl to me. With or without lightsabers, he said. Or even the buffalo sabers. Went for another planet right now, I would. See, there he goes making fun of people's religions. Shame on you, you Dumkopf. Shame on you, you intolerant bastard, you. And we just got through playing that. My religion's better. See, it fits right in, like a glove. Pentagon guidelines that classified homosexuality as a mental disorder now put it among a list of conditions or circumstances that range from bedwetting to fear of flying. The new rules are related to the military's retirement practices. The change does not affect the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that prohibits officials from inquiring about the sex lives of service members and requires discharge of those who openly acknowledge being gay. There's nothing worse than a gay discharge. The revision came in response to criticism this year when it was discovered that the guidelines listed homosexuality alongside mental retardation and personality disorders. The guidelines listed homosexuality alongside mental retardation and personality disorders. Mental health professionals said yesterday they were not satisfied by the change. Just like I'm not satisfied by those naked pictures of Brady Quinn on our website. I'd be satisfied if the knock on the door would have been him instead of the stupid office. Head of the American Psychiatric Association wrote to David Chu, Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness. I wonder if he's kin to Vin Scully. Causes and defects that could also lead to retirement but are not physical disabilities. Defects, you know, like having... You know, one thing I noticed about Jonathan Rhys-Meyers in that movie Match Point?
What's that?
One of his ears is really bizarre. He's got a strand. It looks like crinkled up.
Possibly.
Next time you watch it.
No, I thought his upper lip is kind of not even either. Like one end is curled.
Oh, that's
curled
kind of
up. Gay.
That's part of that.
Is that it?
That's a British thing. You know, it makes him look
see.
Very fake.
I have no idea.
Very effeminate. The guidelines outline retirement. Let's see. Among the conditions are stammering or stuttering, dyslexia, sleepwalking, motion sickness, obesity, insect venom allergies, and homosexuality. If you're allergic to the busy bee. More than 30 years after the mental health community declassified homosexuality as a mental disorder, it's disappointing that the Pentagon still continues to mischaracterize it as a defect, said Representative Marty Meehan of Massachusetts, member of the House Armed Services Committee. Pentagon spokeswoman Cynthia Smith said, homosexuality should not have been characterized as a mental disorder. A clarification has been issued, she said, which was damn white of her. The Psychiatric Association declassified homosexuality as a mental disorder in 1973. Questions about the Pentagon's guidelines were raised in June by a research institute at the University of California at Santa Barbara. There were 726 military members discharged under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy during the budget year that ended September.
About 30, man.
It's always 30. No matter what it is, it's 30. Am I right?
Seems to be.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if instead of 20/20 vision someday, we'll all be seeing so good we got like 30/30. 1,284 votes will be way over 1,300 by the top of the hour. We got a real shot at getting some number by the end of the day, too, and who cares? We don't really care. I think I'm going to dip into some real heavy-duty ice cream right now.
Oh,
I wish
don't
I
do
had
it.
Some. I don't have any. You
Good.
Think I can't? Look, let me say this to you. Now, you know me well enough all these years. Do you think if I had ice cream in the house, it would still be here?
No.
I'm not one of those people that can go to the market and stock up on a bunch of stuff that I'm addicted to and put it in the refrigerator, in the cupboard, in the freezer, and just let it sit there.
No.
Not possible.
You're going to binge on it.
Impossible, baby. That's a binge my ass.
No, I'm sure. I'm
not going to binge on it.
Well,
oh, here's the story about Tommy Thompson, the cheesehead. Yeah. He's going to form a committee to instigate and investigate. He drank water from a creek. He was an outdoorsy guy. Yeah. Tommy Thompson. What an idiot. He thinks he wants to run. Well, why the hell not? It's a free country. It can't be any worse than the other guys. All these incompetent goofballs, you know. Just a question of who's the most famous and who can raise, let me say it again, who can raise
the most money.
That's what it's all about.
Right. Ruben?
I probably shouldn't do that. Probably messes up the head on my razor. Wouldn't you think by putting that against the
microphone? Well, you don't
microphone
have to put the front on there.
I don't care if it messes the microphone up because I got another one right over here. I think I done that a long time ago, didn't I? I got this other one. I don't know why they put it. If you could see the way this thing is set up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the other mic. Okay, do we sound like I'm in stereo now?
No. Sounds like there's two of you.
How about now? Can you hear it now?
No.
Yeah, the hell you can't.
Well, I mean, I can hear you. It doesn't sound any different, though.
What about when I'm talking into both of them like this?
Ooh.
Stereo?
Double kneel.
Let me just shove this other thing back there. They got a microphone, a guest microphone, which I'm never going to have a guest, and there's like about
you
2 feet
know.
Of space there on the other side of this console. So that Herb guy in Coral Springs, it never dawned on me until after I read his caustic facts about the Internet streaming. This is the guy with his, he can listen to Howard all day because they keep repeating the show on Internet on Sirius. And when am I getting on Sirius? Same old tired tune, okay? Same old crap. Herb, get a life, you silly person.
I have no life.
God, you know who I'm talking about. Don't you remember those days?
I do.
You serious?
No.
26 past noon, there's that crook Bill Fisk.
Former CIA.
There's another one thinks he's going to be on El Presidente. He's there with Bob Gates, who, you know, got turned down already a million times. That's why the Bush people want to bring him back alive again. Just keep retreading the same old tired criminals over and over again. That's what we got in politics, you know. Same old tired faces. How about like somebody new and exciting like Tommy Thompson the Cheesehead? The legendary Jackson's Ice Cream Parlor, which has brought in all kinds of goodies for Josh and George today, which they're both ready to just puke their guts out because they ate way too much. But it's good stuff, man. There's nothing like it. and Jackson's in Dania Beach is celebrating their 50th anniversary with an extravaganza this Saturday night. Sounds like tomorrow to me. And George says he's threatening to go there.
I think I will.
Go there and say, oh, there's that little George. There's and, that Georgie Porgy.
Hop up some more freebies.
They've been operating, let me say it again, they've been around, what am I talking about? They've been around at Jackson's for 50 years because their ice cream is just that damn good. It's, and they don't just give you ice cream, they have all these wild concoctions. All kinds of great, unique flavors. Sundays, their famous kitchen sink so big that unless you're a gigantic cow like me, you won't be able to finish it. I dare you to bring me a container of any size of ice cream and say, there, you can't finish it. Likely story. Want to bet?
I'm not going to take that bet.
Come out to Jackson's tomorrow night from 7 till 10 for a great family event and help raise money for the Pediatric Emergency Department at DiMaggio Hospital. Enjoy music and video retrospective. There'll be a silent auction, a raffle, and the first annual National Deli Hot Dog Eating Contest with those big footlongs. Jam a bunch of those down your puss. It's all part of the biggest party in Dania Beach, and it's tomorrow night, the 50th anniversary celebration of Jackson's Ice Cream. Proceeds from the food and soft drink sales will go to the Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital. Admission is free, so come out, pig out like a cow, and have yourself a great time for a great cause. It's all happening at the legendary Jackson's Ice Cream Parlor, just north of Sterling Road on Federal Highway in prestigious Dania Beach. If you want more info, call 954-458-0380.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Dingo ate my baby.
Still think your BlackBerry has you totally connected?
Yeah.
Think again, because now the future of wireless technology is totally connected to you. Introducing the Dingleberry. Forget those clunky belt clips. The Dingleberry hangs snugly from the most secure portion of your anatomy. Here, take a look at mine.
Oh, whoa!
Email the internet and cell phone service in a device just one-tenth the size of ordinary PDAs. In fact, you'll never even know your Dingleberry is there.
Sounds expensive. Will it wipe out my savings?
Nope. If there was any wiping, you wouldn't even have a Dingleberry.
Cool. I'm going to pick out a Dingleberry right now.
Sit on the future with the Dingleberry. It's everything it's cracked up to be.
That's what Mo always said.
Oh, no. No more of these pages coming out.
Oh, well, what do I care? I got a whole case of a fax paper there now. And that's spiffy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hammer mill, no less. Boy, that thing weighs about 8 trillion pounds. 598 votes on the poll. Any interest in that?
No.
No, we don't really care whether you vote on it or not. It's just to try to attract you to our pool, which are like, you know, honeys to a beehive, stuff like that. I think I can probably get rid of this Kimbo Kanger. We'll be there another half hour at the Char Hut. Just kind of tidying up a little bit here. With talk of a rapid minimum wage increase and the beginning of real congressional oversight of the White House already promised when Democrats take over the Senate in January, Senator Chris Dodd of Connecticut will take another step in the right direction today. Dodd will introduce legislation to amend the recently passed Military Commissions Act of 2006, a.k.a. the Bush Torture Bill, because of the powers of detention and prisoner abuse it affords George W. Bush, in an attempt to make it look like a law that actually represents the U.S. we all know and love. We in Congress have our own obligation to work in a bipartisan way to repair the damage that's been done, to protect our international reputation, to preserve our domestic traditions, and to provide a successful mechanism to improve and enhance the tools required by the global war on terror, Dodd said yesterday. I like him a lot sometimes, you know, Chris Dodd. He's really good at times. He's very articulate. He looks like the late Jerry Williams. Dodd, an outspoken opponent of the Military Commissions Act, will go to the Senate floor today to introduce the Effective Terrorist Protection Act, a prosecution act, which will, according to Dodd's office, ensure that U.S. servicemen and women are afforded the maximum protection of a strong international legal framework guaranteed by respect for such provisions as the Geneva Conventions and other international standards. The Connecticut Democrats' legislation is also intended to restore some of the moral authority America lost with the rest of the world when it gave the U.S. government's executive branch the sweeping ability to breach civil liberties in a manner more like a dictatorship than a democracy, writes Bob Geiger. It's clear the people who perpetrated these horrendous crimes against our country and our people have no moral compass and deserve to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, said Dodd. But in taking away their legal rights, the rights first codified in our country's constitution, we're taking away our own moral compass as well, he'd be saying. Among other things, the Effective Terrorist Prosecution Act will do the following. Restore habeas corpus protection to detainees. Narrow the definition of unlawful enemy combatants to individuals who directly participate in hostilities against the U.S. who are not lawful combatants. Bar information granted through coercion from being introduced as evidence in trials. Empower military judges to exclude hearsay evidence they deem to be unreliable. Authorize the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces to review decisions by the military commissions. Limit the authority of the president to interpret the meaning and application of the Geneva Conventions and make that authority subject to congressional and judicial oversight and provide for expedited judicial review of the Military Commissions Act to determine the constitutionality of its provisions. Many Americans have bought into right-wing spin that says Democrats don't like Bush's torture bill because they want to protect the rights of the terrorists. This is because Team Bush has carefully hidden the ugly truth behind this law, that the power it grants would allow the Bush administration to pluck any American off the street, declare them an enemy combatant, hold them without counsel, and without other constitutional protections. Said Dodd yesterday, I take a backseat to no one when it comes to protecting this country from terrorists, but there's a right way to do this and a wrong way to do it. It's kind of like a radio. There's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it, and then there's the Beasley way of doing it, which generally tends to be much closer to the wrong way. So how are we doing over there at Power 96? Has Greg got that all straightened out now? Have we stopped playing all that rigatoni music or what?
I don't know.
We don't know because you're not listening and neither is anybody else. Nice going, Tanner. Hey, Tanner.
You fairy.
Silly person.
Be careful. It's the Tanner building.
Oh, man. That Duffmeister, is she a real coward or what, huh? What a lady. 1,302 votes on the poll. Which ultra-rich person do you despise the most? Nobody can touch Rupert Murdoch, and who would want to? 423 votes. He's got more than double the next to Oprah. I hate them all, 186. A bunch of real, real jealous bastards out there. Too bad. Me too. I mean, I'm doing okay, but not in a league like that, you know? Who couldn't use an extra $1 billion or two, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm still thinking I'm doing the show from Berlin, starting really soon. To hell with this business sitting here looking at pictures of Brady Quinn. I'm going back to Berlin. I'm going on a hunt. Greenleaf, Idaho. Do you have any idea where that is, being the Montana guy that you are?
Where?
I wonder if that's where Dickie Greenleaf got his name in the Greenleaf family. Remember Dickie Greenleaf from that movie? What was it?
No.
Yeah, you do. You've seen it. The Matt Damon movie. The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Dickie Greenleaf. One. Yeah, I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
I don't know where that is.
Cate Blanchett, man, if she isn't... You know, there are a couple of actresses that really drive me nuts. She's one of them. She is so grotesque, you know, and she always plays that real nebbishy... Like, nobody wants me. I can't imagine why, Kate. Okay, you nasty. Oh. I mean, it's one thing to be ugly. A lot of us are in that category. But she's, what a nag, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the scene in the movie where she's like, oh.
That I do.
Desperate. And who's the other actress that just drives me up the wall? I saw her, it's coming. It's on the tip. I'll tell you in a minute.
Name a movie.
No. It'll come back to me in a second. Greenleaf, Idaho, after seeing the chaos of Hurricane Katrina, a city councilman in this tiny Idaho town founded by pacifist Quakers came up with a novel idea. The Quakers. I wonder if they're like the Jediists. Ordinance 208 passed by the city council this week asked Greenleaf's 862 residents who do not object on religious or other grounds to keep a gun at home in case they're overrun by refugees from disasters like Katrina. This is not an it'll-never-happen-here kind of thing, said Stephen Jett. Wonder if he's going to Joan Jett, the ordinance's sponsor. We could get refugees. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that all the people from Katrina, the first thing they thought of, we got to get out of here. Yeah. We got to get up to Greenleaf and go see Dickie Greenleaf. And she was from the loges. He was from the shipping magnate, the Greenleaf, and she was from the textile, the loge. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
When he was they were in the airport in Rome, and he was standing in the wrong line, that whole thing. That's a pretty good movie, even though it's kind of...
Gay.
Now, did Josh see that one, Talented Mr. Ripley?
No.
Well, why not? You didn't bring that in for him? You're not going to watch it again.
I'll bring it in.
I think he might have a little bit of a problem with it. It's got very heavy...
Gay.
But it's really good. And people you like are in there, you know? Like Jude Law. He's okay, right?
Oh, yeah. I like him a lot.
And Freddie. Who the hell played Freddie? What's his name?
Seymour Hoffman.
I beg your pardon? Philip Seymour Hoffman. Did he drop the Philip now? Or is that Ryan Philip?
No, I dropped it.
Oh. In this town about 35 miles west of Boise, near the Oregon line. Boy, I've never been up there in the great Northwest, and you know what? I'm never going to go. I might go to Vancouver someday, though.
That's right. What you're looking for ain't there.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Got lots of mountains and not very many people.
Oh. Well, what do you mean what I'm looking for? You think I'm just some kind of a pervert?
Yes.
Right. Yes, I am. In this town about 35 miles, I got a surprise for you. You would have thought that what I was looking for in Omaha wasn't there either. Oh, wow.
Well, there are people there in Omaha, aren't there?
Ooh-wee. Man, that Midwestern thing. Those good corn-fed Midwesterners. Anyway, can I get back to this without that perversion stuff of yours again? See that? He's the bad influence. He's the one that forced me to put those pictures up on a website. He held a gun to Josh's head and said, put them up there or Neil's going to get pissed off. In this town about 35 miles west of Boise near the Oregon line, where an estimated 80% of the adults are already own guns, the proposal hardly caused a stir. It went through weeks of public hearings and drew only mild criticism from the pastor of the town's Quaker meeting house. But in the 6 weeks since Jett first introduced the ordinance, the national media have flocked to the story. They're flocking to it. Jay Leno ripped Greenleaf in his monologue. Comedy Central's Daily Show telephoned, no doubt to exploit Idaho's reputation as a wild woodland, where mountain men shop for groceries with a rifle slung over a camouflage jacket. Well, you know what it means if you're a guy shopping for groceries.
Yay.
Jett, whose father died in a hunting accident, said the ordinance is designed to enable residents to protect themselves, but also gives the city a better platform from which to promote gun safety. The fact that Greenleaf supports the Second Amendment will be able to keep the crime rate down, he said. The thing is, Greenleaf doesn't really have crime, at least as most cities define it. The most violent offense reported in the past 2 years was a fist fight. Good old-fashioned fist fight, baby. Still, Jed insists the menace of high crime may be on the horizon. Greenleaf is on the western fringe of Canyon County, a fast-growing suburb of Boise. As developers turn alfalfa rows into tract housing and hay bales into big stores, Jed wants newcomers to know that criminals will not be comfortable in Greenleaf. You're not welcome here. Oh, look at that. The bulb just burned out in this thing. I better stop reading.
Uh-oh.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, gee, and that's hotter than hell. Woo-wee, man. The bulb. I got a lamp here that sits off to my left, and I just reached up there like... Sometimes if you tap it, you know what I'm saying?
What, the lamp?
Sometimes you tap the bulb, and it like comes back to life again. You ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you think it died, and then you tap it, and it comes right back to life again, and the bulb, too.
Maybe it's loose.
No, it's not loose. It's
give
not
it a twist.
Loose. It's done. It's had it. I'm going to get a new one and stick it in there during the break. Just realize, I got everything under control, man. I got everything all under control. I got my office supplies. I got my, like Robbie Benson said in One-on-One, school supplies. What a, you know, I shouldn't say that. Didn't he have a heart attack and stuff? And I did like him once upon a time, but nevertheless. And he's Jewish. But other than that, who else did we discover is Jewish? James Franco. How do you like that? Not only is he Franco-American, but he's Franco-Yiddish. Speaking of Jewish food, don't forget it's Lobster Fest every Friday through Sunday at the Emerald Coast. The best Chinese buffet in all of South Florida. Boy, there's a lot of imitators out there, but nobody like the Emerald Coast. Three locations for you. They're in Sunrise, Pembroke Pines, and Sunny Isles. And at the Emerald Coast, you'll find over 100 different items featured on their fantastic, amazing buffet. You talk about picking out. That's the specialty there. Six gourmet soups. New York steak, juicy and delicious, grilled to order just the way you love it. Hand-carved prime rib, sushi, traditional Asian dishes, zillions of them. And they've got a salad bar and even a bar. Well, you're a little slow today. Must be the ice cream. And don't forget, speaking of that, the dessert bar at the Emerald Coast is spectacular. Weekends feature the 40-inch mouth-watering chocolate fountain. You can hand-dip strawberries, all your fruits, marshmallows, cheesecake, and other decadent treats, and loads of milk chocolate for dessert. Just shove them in there. Perfect way to end a really big and enjoyable feast at the Emerald Coast. And don't forget, no crap, no MSG, no cornstarch, no garbage. They use only the most healthy, the best ingredients, including cholesterol-free canola oil. And right now, when you go into the Emerald Coast, as a party of four, ask for the Neal Deal, which will save you $5.60 off your total check with four paying adults. The Neal Deal. Emerald Coast open for lunch and dinner every day. Call for reservations 954-572-3822. 954-572-3822. Don't forget, every day at the Emerald Coast is a Neal Deal Day, and every Friday through Sunday it's Lobster Fest, only at the Emerald Coast Chinese Buffet.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
It's Fatwa Friday, you bastards.
Tonight, the concert that's going to rock the foundation of America and blow the roof off. If you can only see one show this year, see the show that explodes in your face. The rage, the pain, the power of the diva, Barbara Streisand. You wanted the best, you got the best. One night of balls to the wall, fire-breathing, bone-crushing sound, ripping through your head like a shotgun blast. It can only be one woman, Barbara.
You don't bring me flowers.
Don't miss the concert that Marilyn Manson calls a nightmare of sight and sound, Barbara Streisand.
No bottles, cans, or coolers, please. Small children will not be admitted.
Club 47, I bet the Mad Dog may have to take his show off today, have somebody, maybe Curtis, come in and fill in. Former Michigan football coach for about 100 years, Bo Schembechler, died after collapsing during a filming of a show before the big Ohio State-Michigan showdown, according to Detroit TV stations, and there'll be more on that. It just came in like seconds ago. Aren't you like crestfallen? It's a sports thing, man. Bo Schembechler.
Who?
Dead. I wonder how many years he coached. He was there a long time. I wonder if he was Mad Dog's coach at Michigan. I think what happened is he saw the naked pictures of a Tom Brady. Or maybe he saw the pictures of Brady Quinn on our website and got upset and thought it was Tom Brady. I got news for you. From the chin down, Tom Brady ain't much. I just mentioned that. I don't know about from the waist down, but from the chin down, he ain't much. I mean, you know, he's a great player. Right, Josh?
Yes, he is.
He's a good player. Great. Some weeks great. Not this past week. He missed the bus along with the rest of the team. That's okay. They can't be great every week. Otherwise, what's the point, you know? There's no drama. Wait till you hear this. You're going to puke your... Now, let me ask you this. What's your take on Denzel Washington?
You know, he's been okay in some movies, not all of them.
It's an epic telling of the life of Jesus, an ambitious production featuring an all-star cast, but it's not a movie or miniseries. It's been at or near the number one spot among the best-selling books listed on Walmart's website since its early fall release. The retail chain Family Christian Stores says it's the fastest-selling audio Bible it has ever stocked. The 21-hour production, which lists for $49.99, I'm sure half of that goes to the Lord, features the voice talents of more than 250 singers, clergy, and actors, including Denzel Washington, Cuba Gooding Jr., Angela Beck, Goody Goody. Remember Goody Goody by Frankie Lyman and Teenagers? He's still dead, by the way. Angela Bassett and Alfreya Woodward. I don't know who that is. Who is
Alfrey.
That? Alfrey?
Some chick.
Is she related to Winfrey? Oprah Winfrey? Alfrey? Blair Underwood portrays Jesus, and Samuel L. Jackson, who played a scripture-spouting hitman in Pulp Fiction, is the voice of God. How do you like that? Samuel L. Jackson is God my ass. It's really good, and it's transcending every barrier. We're thrilled with the way the product has turned out, said Paul Caminiti, vice president and publisher of Bibles for Zondervan, a Grand Rapids-based division of News Corp-owned HarperCollins. Bibles for Zondervan. Zondervan started shipping Bible Experience in late September and has sold more than... By the way, I got a new bulb in here I just stuck in, and man, now I can read things. I can actually see what I'm reading. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it is.
Now, I never really thought about this. Even all the years I've been alive, there's some things that you never really think about. When a light bulb goes out, I'm asking you because you're such a genius. At least
right.
So you tell us. When a light bulb goes out, when the filament does up like that,
mm-hmm.
and it dies, has the bulb been getting dimmer as it gets older and... You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's funny you should ask that because a lot of times the bulb will burn brighter right before it dies.
Really?
And I asked my science teacher that. And he said that because the filament is suspended in a non-oxygen, what's inside the bulb is not oxygen so that the filament doesn't burn out. But when the bulb gets a crack in it, then the oxygen seeps in. So then the filament starts to burn and therefore it burns brighter and then it burns up and then it goes out. And that's a lot of times what happens.
That doesn't answer my question. That's not
so,
even close.
Barring
that's fairly interesting. I mean, moderately, not tremendously.
Right, well.
But what I'm saying is the bulb is getting older, and it's been there for like a long, long time, which I don't think I ever replaced that. So that's been there for like 5 years, you know?
That might have been a dim bulb to begin with.
It was dim. Zondervan started, speaking of things that are dim, Bible Experience in late September sold more than 70,000 units, Caminiti said. I wonder if he's kin to Ken Caminiti, who croaked, who used to play for the Astros.
Who?
Didn't he croak, Josh?
Yes, he did. It's those roids.
He had bad roids.
By the way, he coached at Michigan from 69 to 89, Schembechler.
Well, then he was Mad Dog's coach because Mad Dog was on the 72 Dolphins. So you would think that he was playing for Michigan like around 70-ish, wouldn't you?
You would think.
Yeah, I'm sure he was pretty tight with Coach Bo. And he's going to be there. There's something right there for him to like, spend a long time on. And, of course, this week we got the big Ohio State-Michigan game coming up for number one, right?
Yes.
Now, let's see, who am I rooting for in that game? I think Michigan's got another pretty good-looking quarterback. What are you laughing about? I have no interest in either one of those schools. I hate them like poison, both of them. I mean, if I can root for Notre Dame because Brady Quinn is playing, then I can root for Michigan. When Tom Brady went and pulled out that, was it the Rose Bowl against somebody, UCLA, whoever the hell it was? Wasn't that his last college game?
I don't remember.
Rose Bowl comeback? They scored about a zillion points. Brady was on fire, baby. He was hotter than a firecracker. Anyway, by comparison, Zondervan, which publishes the five best-selling audio Bibles in the U.S., sells about 60,000 units each year of its longtime top seller, the new international version audio Bible. So for those of you people that want to hear Bubble Mices bobbled in your ear, there you go, the audio Bible.
Bubble Mices?
Bible Mices. 1,334 votes we got. Not too shabby, if you ask me. On a Friday? Friday is generally the weakest day of the week. I don't know why that is.
Is that people
go away for the weekend or
That's
something?
That's right. They're starting their weekend early.
And, of course, now that we have Thanksgiving next Thursday and George will be on vacation all next week. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to have Miguel in there next week and Josh sitting in that room?
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's fine with me. I'm just, nobody has said nothing to me about it.
I know I'm going to be here through Wednesday.
You're going to be what?
I'm going to be here through Wednesday.
Well, not Thursday. You're not going to be there because we don't have a show on Thursday. No, don't tell me you're not going to be there Friday.
That is correct, sir.
What?
I'm not going to be here Friday.
Well, George ain't going to be there Friday. George is on vacation.
Right.
And you're
Miguel,
not going to be there Friday.
Miguel's going to be in here.
I'll be on. I won't be in there, but I'll be on. I'll be here.
They'll get somebody.
You and Miguel, man.
For 4 hours?
All Castro, all day.
Oh, no. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, I like Miguel. He's, you know, good people, but nevertheless, he is as boring as just... He's just got nothing to say about anything. Plus, he hates this show I do now. He wasn't that crazy about it before.
Ay, Dios mío, esos carros.
Yeah, let's just keep going.
Ay, Dios mío, esos carros. Ay, Dios mío, esos carros. Ay, Dios mío, esos carros. Ay, Dios mío, esos carros.
Increíble.
That's what you're going to be hearing on Friday. Not today, although we should have started today. You know, it's really interesting to me. Nobody has said anything to me, or I'm sure to you either, about what the hell the deal is, right? Am I right about that?
Right.
to go. We're like stepchildren on this station, okay?
Always.
Okay, Joe, we're like stepchildren. Your program director, not that we want him to interfere, maybe just help out a little bit would be good. Maybe like plan ahead for what that we're going to stick on the air here.
Maybe I'll ask him to come in.
Who's that?
Clarence.
Yeah, well, I won't be here then.
Or Joe Bell. He could run the board.
Joe can run the board and Clarence can do the show. That sounds like a real wiener to me. Sounds like a plan. A plan by the man. Good golly, Miss Molly. It's just amazing to me how schlocky we're getting. It's like, we don't want to be associated with you. You guys don't have a sports show. You don't talk enough about sports just because you got naked jocks on your website. We don't care about that. In fact, if you want to get some more response on that QM website, Josh, since you're working so feverishly to try to improve it, put those Brady Quinn pictures on there because most of the people that watch sports websites are
gay.
You know, I'm telling you, you get. We have had. I don't know. Can it be anything else? It's not that they're reading 80 City into those bedtime stories.
Oh, you know that's what it is.
They're not. I'm looking at the stats right now. It's like okay, it's not great, but it's mediocre. And it's not like they're listening online because we have the usual the usual assortment of people online about the same we always do. In spite of the fact that it sounds so much better because we got the increased bandwidth. In spite of Herb and Coral Springs bitching and moaning, when are you going to be on Sirius? When are you going to go away, Herb? You bug me. You're whining. You're annoying. The only change we had, and all of a sudden yesterday afternoon and today, we got so many more people on at neilrogers.com, and that's because even the straight guys out there, they want to see what Brady Quinn's got, you know, what he brings to the table. That's what they want. They want to take a look and see what's the big simmons with Brady Quinn, okay? And then they feel really bad about themselves, so like a half hour later, they go back and they look at it again and say, you know something, it looks even better now than he did before. And you tell me there's a God, the same God created Ron Jeremy and created that? Oh, I got to get my toilet paper roll out.
Attention, men.
Why does he start the spots out like that for me, huh? That Duff. Hey, Duff.
You fairy.
Anyway, if you have a hair loss problem or currently wear a hair system, listen to this. And we're talking about hair on your head. I'm not talking to the shaved masses out there. For more than 40 years, Charles Alfieri has been designing hair systems for show business personalities, politicians, and most importantly, everyday guys, even schleppers like you. That's right. And, you know, there's some people who say they can spot a hair system, but I'm going to tell you right now, the ones that you can spot are the bad ones, the embarrassing, humiliating, and degrading ones. How many good hair systems go unnoticed? You don't even know it's not the real thing because they look so great and natural. And Charles Alfieri's hair systems are completely natural, designed with just the right amount of hair in the proper recessions. Run your hands through it. Over here, Brady. Let me run your hands through it. See? God punishing me again. See that?
That's fine.
It looks and feels just like your own hair. And here's the deal that Charlie's got going for you now. For just $99, they'll custom design a hair system for you. Try it for a couple of weeks, and if you're happy with the way it looks and feels and smells, it's yours for just an additional $500 to keep. And they're so confident that if you're not completely happy, return that hair and get your $99 back. So you've got absolutely nothing to lose but that bald spot, an offer you can't refuse unless you're nuts. Charles Alfieri, he's in Fort Lauderdale. Call for an appointment, no obligation, 1-800-321-2413. That's 1-800-321-2413. You absolutely won't believe just how much better and younger you are going to look.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560, QA.
Rock salt.
It's Scott Farrell. And when I'm up in Boca Chica slapping old women with painted lips around the pool,
I listen to the Neil Rogers 1 to 2 hours.
I listen to the Neil Rogers Fair and Balance 1 to 2 hours.
It's been brought to my attention that your ratings are dying now. Well, I don't want to show you what a big asset I was to you and how.
Rectum.
You thought you could find somebody good enough to fill my baggy pants? It ain't easy. There ain't no chance I'll ever be coming back. Outside of considering a lucrative contract. If you want to know what'll save you from shutting that transmitter down... Why, that's easy. Sure.
All she needs is now. All she needs is now. All she needs is a show.
I don't know.
Which radio has a revolving door for the gayest of all whores and squeeze?
right away something.
Yeah?
Jack told me to give you this.
What?
Is he? What are you going to do, fire me, huh?
Like old times.
102 at 560 WQAM. You know, I turned on that Panther game last night on the package, and it was Gildy doing it on TV, and I turned it off real quick. I thought, oh, that voice, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like fingernails scratching on my ass coming right through my expensive TV set. I shut it right off. 1,351 votes on the poll, so here's the very sketchy detail. We're going to say here are the details. Very sketchy. Bo Schembechler, the winningest coach in Michigan football history, died today after collapsing during a taping of a TV show. According to three Detroit TV stations, he was 77. Now, the fact that he died during the taping of the show, which means they probably have him dying on tape. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And knowing what a bunch of grave robbers the media people are, they're probably going to be showing that. It'll probably be on YouTube. Oh, here, watch the coach croak. You know, like that. Bad. Schembechler's death was reported by WXYZ, WDIV, and WJBK, which didn't cite sources. He died a day before the second-ranked Wolverines were scheduled to meet number one Ohio State in the latest installment of the century-old rivalry. And here's a picture of old Bo. Don't look a day over 100. 77. Could pass for 100 easy. Not one of my favorite people, but then again, of course, I went to Michigan State for about 5 minutes, and he was the... And, of course, our coach, Duffy Doherty, 2 yards in a cloud of dust. We not my favorite coaches. And then, of course, there was always Woody Hayes, a real a-hole. What is it about these college coaches, Josh, that most of them are such a-holes? Like Joe Pa, you know? Bobby Bowden.
You just talking about the geezers, or...?
Well, the guys who have been the empire builders, the ones that were around for a long, long time. Most of them are a-holes. Maybe because they take themselves so seriously, you know? It's like other sports-type people who take it all very seriously, as opposed to having, like, any sense of humor about it. 1,357 votes on the poll. Our goal is to get to 14 today. On a Friday, that would be a real feather in your crab. And speaking of crab, man, George is going to be, he's going to be a busy beaver the rest of the day, I'll tell you that.
Well, Josh already got the jump on me.
Did he?
You're just lucky you weren't talking to him, what was it, like a half hour ago?
What did I tell you? I knew it. The mad rush to flush. But at least it's something we don't do all the time, you know. I remember those Zeta days and the INZ days. I remember, how about the IOD days? Good. Did we have food coming to that place or what?
Yeah. That was insane.
Now, I'm trying to think of the Paxson. That, how long did that go on?
A year.
No, it did not. Get out of here. You're my ass.
We were at Paxson for a year.
We started in November. We were not at Paxson for a year. I left there in May. My contract was for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they paid me off in May to go the hell away, which was sweet. Don't you remember that?
Okay.
We weren't there for a year. It may seem like a year.
It felt like a year.
Yeah.
It felt like a finger.
It felt like a lifetime. But anyway, what was I saying about being there?
The
food. Now, wasn't that the place where, of course, the engineer was a real, real a-hole there? What the hell was his name? Oh, I know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
The engineer's name was...
Roy!
Right?
Right.
And he was a jerk, and he made us get rid of all those carts.
Right.
Oh, we don't do carts at Paxson. We don't do... Yeah. Although, I will say this for him, you know? Whatever we needed... Remember we needed the DCS?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever piece of equipment we needed, no matter how much it was, go out and get it, order it, you know, because he had the big bucks, you know, loaded with his swimming in money. A man with no talent whatsoever who just talk about Mazel, man. There were Buddy Bud Paxson. So he didn't, spare any expense, and of course he built us those beautiful studios, you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Palatial, you could eat off the floor. But speaking of that, didn't they not allow us to have food in there? Now we had food. We never worked on a show where we didn't have food in.
Exactly. Everyone makes an attempt to keep you from getting food.
No food allowed
studio.
In the studio, and then of course we do whatever the hell we want. No smoking allowed in the studio, and then I used to light up them stogies all the time before I gave them up because I didn't want to kill myself. Remember that crap?
Mm-hmm.
O'Neill smoking a big fat stogie in there, and George is smoking a big fat one too, but not a cigar, you know. Well, too freaking bad, okay? Mind your own business. There's nothing worse than working for militant a-holes who don't know their ass. And in addition to which, when you're what they got, you know what I'm saying? When you're the franchise?
Right.
When you're what they got, they should pick you up in a limo every day, both of you guys. Pick you up in a limo, and they should pick my ass up in a limo and bring me from my bedroom into this studio every day. Now, see, it goes to show you, I should probably get in the cab at 2. I won't do it. I'm not going to go out there again today and risk my luck. When you go too often and you press your luck, that's when you lose your ass. But it must be a lucky Friday, wouldn't you think, that the delivery guy came knocking on the door when right in the beginning
right.
of a break. I didn't have
must
to, like,
be.
Rush. Like, oh, gee, I think the brake's out of there. Like, you know, he didn't have any idea what's going on. Plus, I had to put my shorts on and my shirt. I'm not going to go naked to the door for some delivery guy. Especially one that looks like that.
You should get, like, a camera or something.
A camera for what? See what the delivery guy looks like?
Sure, before you make up your mind.
Details on House races in which the outcome remains undecided or the candidate may seek a recount as of right now. It's just amazing. Here it is. When was the election? A week ago Tuesday? Or 2 weeks ago? 14th, a week ago. New Mexico, 1st District, Republican Representative Heath Wilson, Heather Wilson, led Democrat Patricia Madrid by fewer than 1,500 votes out of more than 200,000 cast. Official disqualified 845 ballots Wednesday, leaving about 2,500 to be counted. North Carolina, 8th District, Representative Robin Hayes, a Republican, led Democrat Larry Kissel by about 450 votes. About 1,500 provisional ballots remain to be counted. Final results expected maybe today. Maybe, and who knows. They're making them up. Ohio, 2nd District, Representative Gene Schmidt, a Republican who called decorated Vietnam veteran Representative John Murtha a coward, was ahead of Democrat Victoria Woolson by about 2,800 votes. Workers would begin counting provisional and absentee ballots next week. They're going to start counting them next week. In Ohio's 15th District, Representative Deborah Price, a member of the House Republican leadership, leads Democratic Mary Jo Kilroy by about 3,500. Thousands of provisional ballots will be counted beginning on Sunday, a day later than normal in deference to the Ohio State-Michigan football game tomorrow. I know we talked about that before, and I don't understand. What's counting the votes got to do with some stupid-ass football game? No wonder Bo Schembechler died. Now, can't you see the emotional lift that that's going to give Michigan now in a game tomorrow, Josh? Don't you think so?
That's right. They're playing for their old coach.
They're playing for Bo, baby. Going to lift them up and kick some serious ass. Or maybe not. Wyoming, 1st District, Republican Representative Barbara Cuban was certified Wednesday as the winner over Democrat Gary Trauner by 1,012 votes. Trauner held out the possibility of seeking a recount. Here's the one that just frosts my ass. Representative William Jefferson, Democrat of Louisiana, the guy that had the cold cash, you know, the subject of an FBI bribery investigation, the guy had $90,000 cash in his freezer, is facing fellow Democrat Karen Carter in a December 9th runoff. And Representative Henry Bonilla, Republican of Texas, faced Democratic Representative former Ciro Rodriguez, whose name ends in Z, in a yet unscheduled runoff to happen no sooner than December 12th. And in Florida, a first recount was completed Tuesday in the contest for the seat of unctuous Catherine Harris. The Associated Press declared a winner in that race. Republican Vern Buchanan leads Democrat Christine Jennings by about 400 votes, or less than 0.02%. 0.02%. Kind of 0.02. We know programs that got numbers like that. Don't we?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was listening to something else.
Well, what is this? What kind of a faggy thing is it? Oh, it's from Tracy, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, so it was from some queen.
She's not a fag.
She says, forget Brady Quinn. If you haven't seen the Swiss World Cup commercial, check it out.
I get
the lovely boy moving the hay around. And then she's got a website. I may have to check that out at 2 o'clock.
Get
I haven't seen the Ice Storm. That Sigourney Weaver is brilliant in the Ice Storm. I love Sigourney Weaver.
And that's not a bad movie.
Really?
You might like it more than me. It's one of those dramas.
Well, what didn't you like about it?
What didn't I like about it?
Yeah.
The pace. It's kind of a morose
slow,
drama.
A little slow. Don't give it to Josh. Don't forget, bring in the talented Mr. Ripley for Josh. I want him to.
A little bit
to
of
him to watch that.
Tragedy.
It's very
gay.
But I think it's now you would agree with me. It's a pretty I don't know. Doesn't move slowly. I wouldn't say. No, Mr. Ripley, does it?
No, it's good.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen it about four times, and it's okay. 1366,
okay.
Matt Damon shows way too much tooth in it, but he always shows too much tooth. He's a little toothy kind of a guy.
Matt
in fact,
Damon.
You notice the scene there, you notice the ripoff they did in that movie of Fatal Attraction? Remember when Glenn Close had the razor, and she had the bathrobe on, and she was cutting herself on the leg?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like subconsciously, like because she was crazier than a bed bug.
Cutting, and
Mr. Ripley, Matt Damon does the same thing with the razor blade. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
He had the blade in his pocket, and then the blood is, like, spurting, and she's like, feh, like that, feh, you know. Maybe just in looking at him, at Tom Ripley, believe it or not. That is a good movie. I like it. I love the scene where the guy who was in Magnolia, the TV anchor guy, the quiz show guy,
mm-hmm.
He's a great actor. I have no idea what his name is, though.
He is good, and we keep forgetting.
He plays the family attorney there, the investigator that they hire there, the
right.
Greenleafs. And he has that scene with Matt Damon on the balcony, and you think he's going to, like... chew him out and, and the whole deal. Because, well, I'm not going to ruin the movie. And come to find out, they inherited all that money. That Mr. Greenleaf took a great liking to him. Talk about I'd rather be lucky than good, huh?
Right.
That's the line from Match Point, by the way, if you haven't seen it. I'd rather be lucky than good. And he turns out to be pretty lucky, I would say, in more respects than one. In more respects than one, okay?
That's right.
When you come right down to it.
He hit the jackpot.
Because I will say this much, and it rarely happens in those movies, she was a lot prettier than he was, okay?
Yeah. She's prettier than just about anything.
Than just about anything, even Brady Quinn. Well, now we got a battle on our hands.
No, we don't, because we don't have to fight.
That's right.
I'll take him, and everybody's happy.
Scarlett.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 AM.
Friday, you bastard.
if I would stick my tongue down your throat, would we read it on the front page?
Yes.
Girls, don't satisfy ya. I'd just like to try ya. Won't you bring your lips and range? Need a change. Down on my knees, begging you please. I'm no Jerry Hall of mine. I just had enough of that macho stuff. David, check out my behind.
Rectum.
I know it's only David Bowie, but I like him. But I know it's only David Bowie, but I like him, I like him. Yes, I do. She's not like him. Oh, it's a, I know which horny likes to blow when I like it. I know we were dancing in the sheets and then we liked it.
IT at 560 WQAM. Anyway, Tracy, you're slipping, sweetheart. Tracy must be having an off week. You know, we all have those moments. I went to that lengthy website that she suggested. You notice how many got 400 letters on it?
No, I didn't, but I'll look at it now.
No, you don't waste your time.
Okay.
And I got news for you, okay? Tracy, I wouldn't touch him with your finger. He couldn't lick Brady Quinn's cheek, any of the four of them. But at any rate, whatever you like. I'm glad you're happy, Tracy. 1,376 votes. It just porks you off that you, like, go through all the effort to go to a lengthy URL like that and type in 4,000 letters and then thinking something really great's going to be. And then, like, that? Good. Golly, Miss Molly. At any rate, in a letter addressed to Attorney General Alberto Villafañe Gonzalez, soon to be chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy has requested the release of documents that outline the Bush administration's interrogation policies. They aren't wasting any time. Oh, there's the big wedding countdown in Italy.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, Tomcat, we don't care. Hey, don't you guys believe it now? Look, no, we don't. Hey, Tommy.
You fairy.
The documents, which have long been thought to exist by observers and critics of America's national security policies, were confirmed to exist as the result of a still-pending Freedom of Information Act lawsuit by the ACLU. One of these documents is believed to be a companion piece to the now infamous August 2002 memorandum, which redefined torture and, as a result, broadened the range of interrogation tactics permitted in the field. The companion document, the so-called U2 document, named after legal counsel John Yu, is believed to contain a list of actual techniques that have been approved by the Department of Justice and which, therefore, are legally protected interrogation methods used by intelligence operatives against suspected terrorists. A press release issued today contends that Leahy had previously requested all documents relating to the treatment of detainees from the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, and the Department of Defense. These requests have turned up numerous controversial memos and reports detailing the handling of so-called enemy combatants by U.S. soldiers and intelligence officials, but the now uncovered documents were never included. According to the ACLU, the documents specify interrogation methods that the CIA may use against top al-Qaeda members. Last November, a news report surfaced detailing six so-called enhanced interrogation techniques. What remains unclear in what the documents requested by Leahy might reveal is what among these documents which are illegal in the eyes of the Justice Department. You know, like the waterboarding and stuff like that. And poking their eyes out and yanking their fingernails off. Things like that. You know, just minor little encouragement to answer the freaking questions. Stuff like that. Got it?
Got it.
Good.
What?
1381. Oh, look at that. We got the whole rest of the hour for crying out loud. It's only 20 after 1? My God. Not that it's a Friday or anything like that. Not that we've had a little bit. Although it is nice having that nice new light bulb there. Isn't that good?
I'm glad
so
you got it.
So I can really read what I'm trying to read here without stumbling and fumbling and bumbling. And especially when you send me those faxes or those stories, I got a lot of little teeny tiny print, you know.
Print and faded.
Those are my favorite. 1381, Rupert Murdoch has won, even though that poll will be up there all weekend long. I'm almost feeling like we ought to change it because it's a non compos mentis weenus, you know what I mean? But I'm going to leave it. Why the hell would we want to do that? And by the way, Sean, thanks for the polls, but boy, I sure hope in the future you do better than this. You see the three polls he's got on here?
Actually, I did not. Look.
No, don't. You'll be depressed. And then Steve sent us in a poll idea, too. Which group of people scare you the most just by the way they look? And he says hip-hop gangsters. Hasidic Jews, and I love the way he spelled it, Amish people, priests, black women with short blonde hair. He said, won't get any votes, but they scare the crap out of me, is what Steve said. What do you think about that poll?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, we can add some things, change some things, yeah. But I think he's got a good idea.
Well, give me
there.
Some ideas to it, okay? I'm not going to. That's for Monday anyway. We're not going to do that. Oh, yeah, like I said, give me some ideas.
Like when I see blind people driving.
Okay.
Scares the hell out of me.
Like I said, I'll leave it in my capable hands. 23 past 1 again, thanks to our friends at Jackson's Ice Cream Parlor in Dania Beach. Don't forget their big 50th anniversary bash is tomorrow night. And George and Josh are swooning, man. Josh has already made a quick run.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that run as in singular or runs as in... Well, anyway.
No, it was singular.
Good. But when I said runs as in... I wasn't talking about plural. I was talking about as in a noun. Perhaps it wasn't the best day for former Senator George McGovern to bring his case for pulling U.S. troops out of Iraq to Democrats on Capitol Hill. With Democrats starting a contentious caucus to elect new leaders for their return to majority status in January, less than a dozen members of the Progressive Caucus met with McGovern and Professor William R. Polk of the University of Chicago, who have written Out of Iraq, a practical plan for withdrawal now. I'll bet you two-thirds of the American people think that this war was a mistake, just like 95% of Americans think Vietnam was a mistake, McGovern said, invoking his own history as the Democrats' anti-war candidate who failed miserably in his 1972 bid to unseat President Nixon. Now, my memory may be bad, but it seems to me that McGovern won Massachusetts and I think he won two states in 72. Not good. Recalling Nixon's famous speech about the silent majority who he said supported the war in Vietnam, as opposed to the vocal anti-war demonstrators who marched in the country's cities and on college campuses, ABC checked the former South Dakota senator's numbers. McGovern was close in summing up the disdain for Iraq, but a little further off the mark about Vietnam. In a November 5th Gallup poll, 55% called the Iraq war a mistake. Similarly, 57% in the ABC post-poll October 22th said the war was not worth fighting. Gallup last asked about Vietnam being a mistake in 2000, and at that time, 69% of the public said it was a mistake. During the war, the number calling it a mistake peaked at 60% in 1971, 60% and 73%. Since then, it peaked at 74% in 1990. What does that tell you about the American public?
Mm-hmm.
58,000 American troops came home in body bags. Millions of innocent Vietnamese people died, and there was no reason for us to be there in the first place. And it peaked at 74% in 1990. This election on November 7th told us that the Democrats in this country aren't waiting, that the people in this country aren't waiting for Jim Baker to tell the Democrats where we should go in Iraq, said Representative Lynn Woolsey of California, who chairs the Progressive Caucus, referring to the former Secretary of State, who's one of the leaders of the Iraq Study Group, Jim Baker, who said, F the Jews, they don't vote for us anyway. The people of America spoke on November 7th, Woolsey said, that they know how we're supposed to leave Iraq? No. Do they want us to leave? Yes. McGovern told reporters yesterday he hasn't spoken formally with the study group, the independent bipartisan commission led by Baker and former Democratic Congressman Lee Hamilton, but said he has spoken with individual members. And partridge in a pear tree, bada beep, bada boop, bada bop, and yada, yada, yada. It's one of those things, man. It's like a bad marriage. It wasn't that hard to get in, but boy, it sure was a mess trying to get out.
Yeah.
I didn't have anybody specific in mind, necessarily, although... Oh, I know who I was thinking of before. Margot Kidder. Boy, she bugs the crap out of me.
Yeah.
She is annoying. I can't think of what movie I just seen her in the other day.
Worst
part
of all those Superman movies, which would have been adequate otherwise.
Extraordinarily annoying. Uh-huh. It's Margot freaking, are you kidding me?
Blast
the biggest names, the best talent.
This
is Neil Rogers.
Annoying.
Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Friday, you bastard.
How may I be helping you today?
A.
Would you please be having a blue Slurpee?
G.
We are having a sale on Camels.
R-A-G-G.
We have had about many flavors.
Red.
I'm afraid that is not decent.
R-A-G-G-H-E-A-D-H.
Okay, I'll tell you everything. My skin may be brown, but inside I'm pink. Yes, it's true, we put our women in bags. It is only because they smell so bad. You can blame a group for reactions of a group, but we don't all drink our wee-wee. Smell like our poop.
Let's
go start making fun of me.
Raghead.
I shave off my beard and make my face clean.
Raghead. Raghead. Raghead.
If you'll excuse me now, I'm ready to sing.
R-A-G-H-A-G-E-D. Raghead.
Ah, la, la.
Raghead, 132 at 560 WQM. Francesca sends a fax and says, If you want to see Jonathan Rhys-Meyers looking very pretty and making out with other guys, rent the movie Velvet Goldmine. Sounds very
gay
to me. It's a movie from 1998 about a glam rock star and his ambiguous sexuality. Very hot, says Francesca. I looked it up on IMDb. They gave it 6.5. But it's a campy movie. You know, it would never get a high rating if it's a campy movie like that.
Faggy movie.
Or like a...
gay.
Oh, sure it would.
Yeah, you're right.
You kidding me?
Although
you're the ones always telling me about those
things
that are that do the
corrected
reviews on the IMDb on those movies. Oh, it was just wonderful, and it was just so well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And usually those are movies that suck, so to speak.
Right.
1,396 votes. We got 1,400 licked, again, so to speak. 1,397. Oh, here's this big simus about the Tomcat wedding over there.
Will disappear beyond this.
Yeah, disappear forever. Okay, please. Just both of you go off in the Etheric somewhere and disappear forever. Do us all a big favor. Local priest says the Catholic Church will not be involved. It's going to be a Scientology wedding.
I imagine.
Wouldn't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's the priest.
Local priest, who according to Catholic Church tradition, needs to authorize all marriages in his parish.
Well, Italy doesn't recognize Scientology as a religion. Another reason I love Italy so much. Norman Solomon, the new media offensive for the Iraq War. He's good. This is in commondreams.org. I don't think I have time to read this. It's too long. But I'm going to do it anyway. He says the American media establishment has launched a major offensive against the option of withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq. In the latest media assault, right-wing outfits like Fox News and the Wall Street Journal editorial page are secondary. The heaviest firepower is now coming from the most valuable square inches of media real estate in the USA, the front page of the New York Times. The present situation is grimly instructive for anyone who might wonder how the Vietnam War could continue for years, while opinion polls show that most Americans were against it. Now, in the wake of midterm elections widely seen as a rebuke to the Iraq War, powerful media institutions are feverishly spinning against a pullout of U.S. troops. Under the headline, Get Out of Iraq Now? Not so fast, experts say, the November 15 front page of the New York Times prominently featured a military analysis by Michael Gordon. The piece reported that while some congressional Democrats are saying withdrawal of U.S. troops should begin within 4 to 6 months, this argument is being challenged by a number of military officers, experts, and former generals, including some who have been among the most vehement critics of the Bush administration's Iraq policies. Reporter Gordon appeared hours later on Anderson Pooper's CNN show, fully morphing into an unabashed pundit as he declared that withdrawal is simply not realistic. Sounding much like a Pentagon spokesman, Gordon went on to state in no uncertain terms that he opposes a pullout. If a New York Times military affairs reporter went on to TV to advocate for withdrawal of U.S. troops as unequivocally as Gordon advocated against any such withdrawal during his appearance November 15 on CNN, he or she would be quickly reprimanded and probably would have been taken off the beat by the Times hierarchy. But the paper's news department eagerly fosters reporting that internalizes and promotes the basic worldviews of the country's national security state. That's how and why the Times front page was so hospitable to the work of Judith Miller during the lead-up to the invasion of Iraq. That's how and why the Times is now so hospitable to the work of Michael Gordon. At this point, categories like vehement critics of the Bush administration's Iraq policies are virtually meaningless. The bulk of the media's favorite vehement critics are opposed to reduction of U.S. involvement in the Iraq carnage, and some of them are now openly urging an increase in U.S. troop levels for the occupation. These days, media coverage of U.S. policy in Iraq often seems to be little more than a remake of how mainstream news outlets portrayed Washington's options during the war in Vietnam. Routine deference to inside the Beltway conventional wisdom has turned many prominent journalists into co-producers of a Groundhog Day sequel that insists the U.S. war effort must go on. During the year since the fall of Sodom, countless news stories and commentaries have compared the ongoing disaster in Iraq to the Vietnam War, but those comparisons have rarely illuminated the most troubling parallels between the U.S. media coverage of both wars. Whether in 1986 or 68 or 2006, most of the Washington press corps has been at pains to portray withdrawal of U.S. troops as impractical and unrealistic. Contrary to myths about media coverage of the Vietnam War, the American press lagged way behind grassroots anti-war sentiment in seriously contemplating U.S. pullout from Vietnam. The lag time amounted to several years and meant the additional deaths of tens of thousands of Americans and perhaps a million more Vietnamese people. A survey by the Boston Globe conducted in February of 68 found that out of 39 major daily newspapers in the U.S., not a single one had editorialized for withdrawing American troops from Vietnam. Today, despite the anti-war tilt of national opinion polls and the recent election, advocacy of a U.S. pullout from Iraq seems almost as scarce among modern-day media elites. The standard media evasions amount to kicking the bloody can down the road. Careful statements about benchmarks and getting tough with the Baghdad government, as with the Saigon government, are markers for a national media disclosure that dodges instead of enlivens debate. Many journalists are retreading the notion that the pullout option is not a real option at all, and the Democrats will soon be running Congress, we're told, wouldn't and shouldn't dare go that far if they knew what's good for them. Implicit in such media coverage is the idea that the real legitimacy for U.S. war policy making rests with the president, not the Congress. When I ponder that assumption, I think about 42-year-old footage of the CBS program Face the Nation. The show's host on that 64 telecast was the widely esteemed journalist Peter Lisagor, who told his guest, Senator, the Constitution gives the President of the U.S. the sole responsibility for the conduct of foreign policy. You couldn't be more wrong, Senator Wayne Morse broke in with his sandpapery voice. You couldn't make a more unsound legal statement than the one you've just made. This is the promulgation of an old fallacy that foreign policy belongs to the President, and that's nonsense. Lisagor was almost taunting as he asked, to whom does it belong then, Senator? Morse didn't miss a beat. It belongs to the American people, he shot back, and I'm pleading that the American people be given the facts about foreign policy. The journalist persisted. You know, Senator, that the American people can't formulate and execute foreign policy. Morse's response was indignant. Why do you say that? I have complete faith in the ability of the American people to follow the facts if you'll give them to them, and my charge against my government is we're not giving the American people the facts. Morse, the senior senator from Oregon, was passionate about the U.S. Constitution as well as international law, and while rejecting the widely held notion that foreign policy belongs to the president, he spoke in unflinching terms about the Vietnamese War. At a hearing of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on February 27, 1968, Morse said they did not intend to put the blood of this war on his hands. And prophetically, he added, we're going to become guilty, in my judgment, of being the greatest threat to the peace of the world. It's an ugly reality, and we Americans don't like to face up to it, he said. Almost 40 years ago. And we're still doing the same crap. Norman Solomon, baby. He knows his crap. 1402, man. That must have been a really good year. I wonder if Norman Schwartz lived up the street from me in 1402.
Talking about the
great historians talk such caca about, well, Jesus did this, and Mary Magdalene did that, and they don't even know who shot Cock Robin, for crying out loud. They don't know from nothing. And all these religious getchkes, man, and you people out there, you subsidize it. The people out there who are subsidizing this crap, you're the evildoers. I'll tell you that right now. All the hate, the hostility, the murder, the bloodshed, the lunacy. 1408 on the poll. Aren't you impressed? No.
No.
Oh, Scientology, Wedding 101.
You know, the aesthetics on the outside, the dress, the rings.
Who cares? Am I right?
Who cares?
We don't care. We don't care about Tomcat. We don't care about Scientology. We don't care about L. Ron Hubbub. We don't care about any of this crap. I give more credit to the Jediists myself.
Absolutely.
Impressive. Absolutely.
Hey, if you're expecting guests this holiday season, then it's a great time to dial 1-800-MATTRESS. Make sure they all got someplace to lay their ass. Plus, it's Dollar Mattress's 30th birthday.
About 30, man.
And to celebrate, Dollar Mattress and Simmons are offering you the lowest price of the year on the best-selling Simmons Beauty Rest Pillow Top. You can choose from South Florida's biggest selection, Simmons Beauty Rest, and get same-day delivery, too. Call Dollar Mattress at 1-800-MATTRESS and get yourself factory direct prices and award-winning service with no nonsense, no BS. When you call Dollar Mattress, which I've been doing for years, don't forget you get to pick the date and time for delivery anytime when it's convenient for you, 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., even the very same day. Just pick a two-hour window when you want them to show up, like 11 to 1, 1 to 3, 2 to 4, etc., and they show up, they deliver. That's one of the many reasons why Dollar Mattress continues to be ranked number one in the world in customer satisfaction, why everybody with a brain, including our friends at QAM, use Dollar Mattress. On the web, you'll find them at mattress.com, or better yet, pick up your phone right now. It's the easiest, the smartest, and the most inexpensive piece of shopping you can do. Call 1-800-MATTRESS, 1-800-M-A-T-T-R-E-S. Leave off the last S because it stands for stupendous, sensational savings.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 AM.
Right. I thought Christianity was fairy tale.
You fairy.
This religious thing was not for me.
Absolutely.
They held a big convention. They let me in for free. I had no idea what I was about to see.
Oh!
They were speaking in tongues. That made me a believer. It was kind of fun to stick it out of my mouth. Speak in tongues. They got me believing, my tongue is weaving from side to side. The Lord will now embrace me. I clap my tongue to the beat. Now, whatever I do, He'll forgive me. Cause now I speak in tongues. That makes me a believer. And I'm having fun. Playing around with my mouth. Now I speak in tongues.
145 at 560 WQAM. 1,422 votes on the poll on a Friday, no less. Well, I'll guarantee you we got... everybody's looking at those pictures. That's what it is.
That's it.
I'm printing out the rest of the Bo Schembechler story because we got Mad Dog coming up at 2. He's at Hooters in Pompano, though, and I hope somebody passed along the information. Wouldn't you think?
I imagine.
Well, you know, the sports shows, we got like 55 people that produce and get involved. Am I right? And I'm sure Ken's got it. Ken's on top of it, being the old sports dog that he is. And he a sports dog?
Okay.
How is old Ken Muldoon doing?
He's just fine.
Good. How you doing, Ken? I'm waiting for the story to print out. And I'm so damn excited that I got my case of fax paper, which means I'm going to be sending so many more stories to Josh and printing so many more out.
Take it easy.
Thousands.
Be out of town this weekend.
Will you really?
Yeah.
Not?
No, sure.
So what does that mean? Don't send you any stories? Who's doing the stories?
Oh, then? I'm doing them. I'm just,
Then, in other words, lighten up a little bit.
That's right.
Well, where's the rest of the story, for crying out loud? Oh, no. Are you kidding me? One moment, please. Oh, no, I printed it out and printed, like, the first page of it, and then said, I know if I knew how to do it right, I don't want to do it right. I'm so good. You're just like my mother.
That's right.
Now, if you do it this way, why do you always do it that way? Why are you so stubborn now?
I'm like your mom. I'm right.
See what I mean? Just like your expertise in naked guys. You know?
Uh-huh.
Oh, here we go. Here it is. I'll just read it one page as they come over and hope that the rest of it shows up.
Let's see. Is it showing up?
No. No? it doesn't want to print out. Maybe I'll read it off the monitor. How's that sound?
Do it.
Wouldn't that be safer? It's pretty far away. It's like inches away. Bo Schembechler, who became one of the college football's great coaches in 2 decades at Michigan, died Friday after taping a TV show. After taping the show on the eve of the Wolverines' number one versus number two showdown with perennial rival Ohio State, he was 77. Mike Dowd, chief investigator with the Oakland County Medical Examiner's Office, confirmed Schembechler's death at 11:42 a.m. You only meet someone like that once in a lifetime, Michigan Executive Associate Athletic Director Mike Stevenson told the Ann Arbor News. In the history of the Michigan athletics, nobody had a bigger impact. He was passionate, bright, and an unbelievable leader. He loved Michigan. Schembechler became ill and collapsed while taping the show, The Big Ten Ticket, at WXYZ in Southfield, and was taken by ambulance to an area hospital immediately, but not immediate enough, I guess. The Detroit News reported that Schembechler, just before taping the show, visited the restroom and collapsed. Maybe he had too much ice cream, like Josh. I hope you don't collapse in there next time, Josh. Schembechler also was hospitalized October 20th after becoming ill at the same location. Maybe he was, like, allergic to WXYZ, which I could understand that. Police were sent to the station around 9:25 a.m. along with the city's fire department and escorted an ambulance to the Providence Hospital, South Philly spokesman John Harren said. Harris, whatever. See, it's far away. And, what's the point of reading the rest of this? He's dead, you know? Bo Schembechler is dead. Pass it along. Pass that word along to our sports nerds. You got it? Well, I'm sure they're on top of it. They're all over it like stink on Greg, wouldn't you think? Like stink on Power 96. Like stink on Rigatoni when you come right down to it. 1,432 votes. Boy, if we'd have pushed it, we'd have had a shot at 15 today, but we don't want to end the week that way, especially with George being out next week. Now, what did we find out about next Friday? I don't want to start, playing Butch Boss and asking, like, who the hell is going to be around. George ain't going to be there. Josh isn't going to be there since he's a town's not when he
Miguel's in here.
What?
Miguel will be here.
Running the board.
Okay.
Or sitting in here, and they'll get some other flunky for in there.
Miguel's going to be sitting in there, and Robert Grieper's going to be running the board?
Sure.
No.
Like I said, Miguel's going to be doing the show, and Robert's going to be his board op.
Right.
Is the way I'm looking at it.
Nine.
So in other words, I got off Thursday and Friday next week.
Oh!
Is that what you're telling me?
4-day weekend.
Sounds really good to me. Boy, I can lose a lot in that period of time. Can you imagine? Whew. I'll be on next Friday. I don't want to start playing hooky. It's not a good idea. Not a really good idea. Because then when you realize how easy it is to do it, then you can do it anytime you feel like it. Oh, I don't feel like showing up today, you know?
Pull a mat
like
down.
When I went to college, you know, it was so much easier to sleep in the morning than get up and go to class. 1,433 votes, and I think I did the right thing, you know? What the hell do I need some stupid-ass college degree for? Well, what's the point? Is this the kind of business you can learn in college?
Right.
Of course not.
Well, just think of how much more money you'd be making if you'd gone to college.
Yeah, right, right. Just think how much more money we'd all be making if Saul Foose wouldn't have gone to jail, if he wouldn't have had larceny in his heart.
Oh.
Think about that.
I'd rather
and
not.
Weep. You'll be weeping all weekend.
I know.
So be sure and don't leave the ice cream there. Take it home because you'll need something to calm you down when you start thinking about that. The ice cream will do it.
something
like,
else
like,
too.
Like in Fatso when he started dipping the bread in the pasta sauce. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
And they were all crying over the death of their buddy there, you know, the cousin. All of a sudden, like, he started feeling so much better.
Sure.
And then he put on the Parmesan cheese on the bread with the...
That was a good idea there. I was taking notes.
1,433 votes. Which ultra-rich person do you despise the most? See, I can't even read the damn poll. Rupert Murdoch is kicking the competition's ass. 420. He's got almost a third of the votes. I hate them all, 206. All those people with the big money. They won't give any of it to you guys, and neither will I. Oprah, 181. Donald Trump, 180. Wayne Huizinga, 168. He is sure falling down the ladder. Man, I hate this poll, 87, 6%. George Steinbrenner, 72, 5%. Ted Turner, 42, 2.9%. Bill Gates, 21, 1.4%. I bet you voted for him. No, voted for Trump.
Donald,
The Donald. And Warren Buffett's finally got six. He finally got one more. They don't even know who the hell Warren Buffett is. And you know something? Who cares? Who the hell cares who Warren Buffett is? Who's that buffet? 153, Mr. Mad Dog coming up, but kind of cast a pall over his proceedings, it would seem to me, that Beauchamp Reckler died on this day. When you think it would cast a pall?
I'm very appalled.
But I'm sure he's got some pretty good stories. Experience the difference at Mercedes-Benz of Pompano, and don't forget, at Mercedes-Benz of Pompano, when you buy there, it doesn't matter whether it's the beginning of the month, the end of the month, or in between, because no matter when you buy, they always give you the best possible deal. Whether it's one of the brand-new Mercedes 2000, 2007 Mercedes-Benz luxury sedans, the 2007 GL class, the first Mercedes-Benz full-size SUV, or their large selection of certified pre-owned cars. And when you choose Mercedes-Benz of Pompano, you're going to have over 200 employees working their ass off, providing you incomparable service, offering you express lube, courtesy vehicles, and complimentary car wash, too. Make an appointment through their business development center, and don't forget, at Mercedes-Benz of Pompano, you can even earn dealer miles just like you earn frequent flyer miles with your airlines. Browse Mercedes-Benz of Pompano's Indoor Expo with over 150 new and pre-owned vehicles, or go to BenzPompano.com, B-E-N-Z, BenzPompano.com. Experience the difference at Mercedes-Benz of Pompano. You'll find them at I-95 and Copens Road. Call them toll-free, 1-800-NEW-BENZ, N-E-W-B-E-N-Z. That's 1-800-NEW-BENZ for Mercedes-Benz of Pompano, a Mercedes-Benz dealer like no other in history.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
It's Dave.
All right.
In Miami town.
Absolutely.
At 560 WQAM.
Oh, my God.
Back in the day when someone done us wrong. We didn't take their crap.
No.
In Pearl Harbor, when the Japs dropped their bombs, we bombed them back.
Uh-huh.
And now the Saudis, they hit us hard. And on our cars, our little flags wave. As that Saudi loving retard points the bombers the wrong way.
Abu Ghraib.
And I'm embarrassed to be an American, where they follow Bush like sheep. The United States of arrogance, led by Bush and his family, greed they got this country. Ambling towards the darkest days in our history. I don't want to be a Pax American in the USA. What's a few thousand innocent lives? Stop living in the past. If you want that SUV to drive, you're gonna need more gas. It's the greatest country in the world. They train us to believe. And anyone who says that obviously can't afford to leave. And I'm embarrassed to be an American, where we patriotically wave a flag in one hand, with our head in the sand, and blindly follow the powers that be. Apathetic, watching state run news on a 65-inch screen. Scratch your fire, everything's okay.
Welcome.
In the USA.
Bye, bye, bye!